Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This is what is on the menu today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us, serving up massive doses of hardcore truth and information warfare. Thank you for joining us. My good friend Kevin Booth, who of course was Bill Hicks' producer and a documentary filmmaker in his own right, airing on Showtime and on places like that, American Drug War is just one of his films. He will be joining us. He also worked, of course, on Martial Law, one of my films, and American Dictators. He will be joining us coming up in T-minus 2 hours to talk about a host of issues with the war on drugs. It is the war on the American people. A lot of big new developments there, and also initiatives across the country to try to decriminalize, and how that's wildly popular in every poll. But the drug dealers don't want to decriminalize, i.e. the police, the military, the government. They are the narcotics traffickers, and they want to be able to throw your children in their private prisons. And so business is very good for them. They've destroyed America. And so we'll be talking about that coming up later. How do we reverse the total destruction of this country with Kevin Booth? We're also going to have wide open phones, and you know I got a lot of news I want to cover, and I can easily, very easily, go for 2-3 hours without taking a breath and never going to your calls. But on any issue, any item, the election, the police state, the economy, the bailout, whatever it is you want to discuss, absolutely wide open phones today. I would add the caveat that if you disagree with me, you go to the head of the line. That's like a royal flush, if you tell us that. And if you're a first-time caller, that's like a full house. You know, that's not as good as disagreeing, but we'll put you to the head of the line if you volunteer that. Or you can call in, like we had a caller yesterday and said he was Billy Bob from Timbuktu. You know, we don't, I mean, it'd be nice to know your first name and where you're calling from. That's always interesting to see where listeners are tuning in from, but you can call in from England and say you're in Japan. You can call in from the South Pole and say that you're on Pluto. Or from Burble Snap. For me, it doesn't really matter. I don't think the listeners really care too much either. So 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. We are only 4.5 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That's 4 days, but then we've got Tuesday to find out. We're going to have all these Senate races and House races and gubernatorial races and legislative races at the state level and city and county and school district. But most of that will be ignored. It's all about Barack H. Obama and John McCain, the maverick and the hope change man, and whoa, who's going to win? It's neck and neck with Obama just a nose ahead right now. My goodness. All heaping on the illusion, heaping on the false conception that these guys actually run diddly squat. Pass their own personal bank accounts and their criminal operations, they run nothing. They are puppets. They are managed, kept men. 1-800-259-9231. In other news, U.S. government anticipates Bin Laden election tape. Yes, right on time. U.S. Federal Reserve opens $30 billion credit line for Brazil. Gold coins in short supply command 50% premiums above what they claim spot gold is. They made a killing, the use of knowledge of covert operations in the stock market. Group seeks credit card debt forgiveness. Lies on audio tape, New York Times with Morgan Chase execs bragging that it's really a banking takeover. Cindy Sheehan's office attack. Stay with us. We'll be right back with all of it.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. I've told you for a long time it's important to be self-sufficient, and today that's more important than ever. We need to be independent, and food and water is the key. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. You'll never have to go to the Superdome and beg for FEMA to take care of your family in any emergency if you simply prepare. Our elected representatives wanted a good old boy bailout for the special interest, so they ignored your screams not to do it. They turned off the telephones and email. They voted to print $850 billion at least out of thin air. This money now owns the American and European banks. The exploding inflation that is now guaranteed will slash your life savings to nothing and blast the cost of necessities, particularly food, beyond many Americans' reach. In pre-Nazi Germany superinflation, the cost of a loaf of bread doubled every 2 days until it reached over 4 billion marks. Food prices are skyrocketing so fast, there seems as if there may be no end in sight. The private banks, merging with our government, are refusing to loan grocery stores enough money to restock their shelves. The stores have less food, but jack up prices to stay in business. Whatever happens in America, we need to be prepared and be ready. Everything is zeroing in on food. 1/3 of Americans have to choose between buying food and paying for other necessities. My friends, whatever it takes, get prepared. Get self-sufficient. Get food. And for everybody out there listening, it's very important for you to understand that by having a supply of storable food, the government, the New World Order, has a lot less control over you. And so it's a mindset of self-sufficiency and preparedness. No one is going to take care of your family in the final equation but you. You know eFoodsDirect.com is still able to ship storable food that's safe from E. coli, salmonella, genetic alteration, or Chinese imports. And they do it at almost half the cost of last year's grocery prices. Call 1-800-409-5633 or on the web, go to eFoodsDirect.com. Visit eFoodsDirect.com and look over the fine list of high-quality, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods they have to offer. Watch the free videos, look at their online catalog, or give them a call at 1-800-409-5633. Again, 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Take action today. The first step is getting storable food.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Things that face society, but humanity's always faced with serious issues. But we have a lot of fun behind the scenes. I've been doing Cobra Commander imitations and Jesse Ventura imitations during the breaks, and John is asking me in IM right now to do those on air. I don't know, John, what do I get, you know, for acting the fool? I do enjoy screwing around. I have to get in the Jesse Ventura mindset. I have to flash back to him screaming at my camera guys in a fun way, in huge arguments in the car with my spoiled colleagues who I could hardly conduct interviews driving in the car with them because they were enjoying the arguments so much, off-topic issues. But let me think of one. Hold on.
You know, Alex, Navy SEALs, we don't get angry. We just get even. And we take our time. You got to sleep sometime.
I'll do one later. All right, you want to hear Cobra Commander, John? You know, I should wait until I bring up the police state and how our police wear Cobra Commander uniforms. That was part of predictive programming through TV. They even drive the same black APCs, or what are they called? Hissmobiles. Yes, I watched the show, too. I didn't watch the later series, but I was like 9, 10. It first came on TV. And you've got the international terrorist, and you've got the international arms dealer, Destro, and that's basically a Donald Rumsfeld and the Carlyle Group. But you want me to do the Cobra Commander, the Cobra Scream? You really want it? Okay. Actually, come on air, John, and beg, and I'll do it.
Please, Jones, do it.
I really did it last week in here before the show, and people were in the other office, and they were like, is that a chainsaw in there? Everybody came running in here, but I don't want to hurt my voice actually doing all right, this is like morning radio now. I've got to stop it. I've got to control myself and get into the news here, because it's all extremely serious. And there may come a time we're not even on air if things continue down the road like they are right now. And I'll wish to God I hadn't screwed around. But you know what? We got to have a little fun, don't we? All right, let me do a Cobra. See, now once I'm on the spot, it's hard to do a proper Cobra Commander. You know what? I'm going to keep everybody on the edge of their seats. Later, when it feels spontaneous, I'll do the Cobra! That's not as good as the one I did earlier. Let me try another one here. Cobra! That's not as good as the earlier one, was it? It's pretty good. People are probably going, what on earth?
Cobra!
There you go. But he has more of like at the start. He goes, Cobra! There you go. Which one was better, John? You like that? All right. Now I can go join the SWAT team and dress like Cobra Commander, huh? Maybe I can go work for Rumsfeld and the Carlyle Group and ship narcotics into the country and then bust kids using it, huh? How's that sound for Cobra, John? Oh, God. I don't even, you know, folks, I don't even cover the surface of how bad things are because I can't stand getting into it. I mean, it's the truth. It's kind of like I'm in front of this giant buffet of New World Order corruption and people say, oh, Alex exaggerates. Alex, he makes it look worse than it is. You have no idea. Whereas I can't get enough of studying it and learning more. It is hard to come on here and describe just how bad things are and just how out of control things are. And nobody wants to deny all of this and forget all of this more than I do. But I can't do that because I have a family and I love this country and I love the people of the planet. And denying it has gotten us into the situation we're in. So I can't sit here and mince words or soft pedal what's going on. We have very, very evil people in control of society. And it is the denial of that that has gotten us to the point we're at. But now, there's not even that denial going on. By the way, up on Infowars.com, yeah, people are finally starting to wake up. Have you seen the new teaser trailer for this summer's Angels and Demons, part two of the Da Vinci Code movie with Tom Hanks? John sent that to me this morning, and it starts zooming in over Vatican City and zooms in on a big statue of the devil perched atop one of the buildings. And it talks about the Illuminati having their revenge, and in big, bold text on the screen is the word Illuminati, and then Tom Hanks says, it's the Illuminati. And all over TV now, popular culture, sitcoms, dramas, shows like Heroes, I've seen a clip of that. It's Illuminati, New World Order, they're taking over, they're doing it. And all these world leaders are suddenly saying, New World Order, 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 world banking system run for and by the banks. I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. They're just coming out with it, flaunting it, and saying, yeah, we're taking the trillions of dollars and giving it to ourselves in bonuses, and we're not going to help anybody in the economy, and what are you going to do about it? And yeah, we got the army standing by to go after you, and they're dressed in Cobra Commander outfits. What are you going to do about it? And yeah, we torture people. And yeah, CIA ships the drugs in. And yeah, you know, even the Dallas Morning News comes out and says, yeah, it looks like the government killed Kennedy 2 weeks ago. I mean, just out of control, everything. It's just insane. And I know it takes a lot for some of you out there just not to just crack up or pull out or leave the country. Talking to Ventura privately yesterday off air, he's like, I can't wait to get out of here. Alex, that's just too much. I'm pulling this stuff up as you're telling me about it, and I didn't even know how bad it was. God, I need to get out of here. But you can't get out of here. So, you know what, John? Cue up that CNBC clip, too, with the analyst talking about Illuminati. Let's play the CNBC one first. That's we posted last Friday up on InfoWars. I didn't get around to posting it posted last Friday. I didn't get around to playing it on air till yesterday. But here that is again before I play the new DaVinci Code clip. Here it is.
This, at least you're getting back to the point where you can start to look at fundamentals, and that's good news. What happened?
I think you're in a liquidation phase. I think Kirsten had it exactly right. I think there's a bunch of wrong-footed moves by Hank Paulson and the Illuminati of the country, if you will.
All right. Now, here is the... Again, it's up on InfoWars.com. It's a lot better, with the video, more powerful. But here is the new Tom Hanks movie coming out, I guess, in about 6 months in May. There's a lot of disinformation, obviously, in it. I've scanned over the synopsis of the book. You know, basically, the Catholic Church is fighting the Illuminati. And the Illuminati is the secret world group of criminals trying to bring them down. But still, it's the throwing it in your face that that's who is rising right now. Here it is.
Hundreds of thousands are gathered in St. Peter's Square for conclave.
It is on this night in Vatican City that an ancient ritual is taking place.
The new pope is yet to be selected as we see the black smoke coming from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel.
The entire world is watching and waiting. Which is why this is the perfect moment for our revenge. It's Illuminati.
Tom Hanks,
it's Illuminati. Which is why it's the perfect time for our revenge. Cobra!
There you go. Got it right that time. I mean, these scumbags are just right out in the open in front of everybody. And it's just laughable to me that still about 30% of the public is in complete denial. There's no North American Union. There's no New World Order. There's no Trans-Texas highways. There's no NAFTA superhighways. There's no government corruption. And all over Europe, all over England, all over Japan, all over the United States, all over Canada, all over Mexico, there's high-tech, Pentagon-designed face scanning, retina scanning, license plate scanning, cameras going in, passive MRIs, passive brain scanners, militarizing police, and then the cops run up to everybody, whether it's in New Jersey or Texas or London, England, and they say, turn your cameras off. You're not allowed to. They even come up to families out photographing their children at parks and say, turn that camera off and just let you know you ain't got no rights, you dirty scum. I was watching a video on Enough Respect's channel today, just of all these cops coming, people in their backyards will be videotaping in England. The cops go, turn that camera off right now, you're not allowed to do that. I mean, just open, corrupt, dirtbag, criminal, scumbag, degenerate, viperous, vermin, corrupt, just hypocritical, degenerate government working for private banks as they loot the whole world, as they bleed us out like a hog hung up by its hind legs, having its throat slit as the bureaucrats just slather over the blood as it pours hotly into their greedy, filthy, stinking, scrofulous mouths. Your phone call straight ahead. Tons of vital news. Huge transmission today. You know, I told you that I was out in Hollywood, I guess about 3 years ago now when I first learned of it. I'd seen some blurbs. You haven't seen much from the guy that made Titanic, the guy that made the first Terminator movie, And that's because he's been spending over $1 billion of his own money trying to come up with a standard of new movie theaters that are hologram theaters. And I talked to folks that had been internally inside some of the quasi-secret operations of that. So there's a big race by the Japanese and the U.S., different groups funding, and even the Arabs are funding a lot of it as well, because it's so speculative. For holograms, you know, your television will be a projector that projects a hologram in your house. That's the future. Well, that's on CNN today, that Wolf Blitzer will be talking to holograms of reporters out on the campaign trail. And so they're really getting us ready for that. That should be interesting. All right, that's coming up later. Jeff in Texas disagrees, so he goes to the head of the line past Kazakh from Jamaica, who's up next, and Walt, Gravel, Ryan, James, and others. Go ahead. You're on the air, Jeff.
Alex, I appreciate all you do. I want to caveat my comment with that and tell you I've been listening to you for 8 years and have distributed a bunch of your DVDs.
Great,
but I'm
thank
appalled
you.
By your behavior yesterday with that 81-year-old woman. I got a couple statements and a couple questions for you. Do you in any way appreciate how much courage it takes for an 81-year-old woman to break out of the Matrix?
Well, I didn't know I was mean to her.
Well, you were short, you were curt, she was asking for help. Who knows how long she held, but she was asking for help, and you told her to buy a computer. I know 50-year-old people can't get into computers, much less than 81.
I know, I'm bad.
No, Alex, I'm serious. You got to have a human side to you. How would you like it if somebody did that to Grandma Emmerich?
I was not mean to the lady. And a lot of what goes on here behind the scenes, I had them bringing papers into me. I had them reminding me that we have a number people can call that I paid for that's physical landlines. It's not some internet conference call thing, which is also a great idea. We're getting ready for them to possibly shut the web down. And so I'm spending $2,000 a month to offer this 188 lines or whatever it is.
She is not going to be able to access that with her age. I mean,
she's not going to be able to dial a phone number?
She's probably got charging long distance, but the fact is you could have put her on hold and had one of your people on your staff help her. She was asking
Well, hold on, let me just stop you. The staff is John Harmon up in Minnesota, who does the job of answering the phones, running the show. For our size, we should have about three people in there. My Sunday show does have three people in there. That's how it's normally done. Now, for the last hour of the show, when we go live on video, there is somebody out here, but that's a separate phone system. So, I mean, we could go back and replay the call. I explained to her that we've dealt with this shortwave issue over and over and over again. And, I mean, I told her I was sorry.
Shouldn't have gotten to that point. I guarantee you Jesse or Willie wouldn't have talked to her like that. And you wouldn't like it if somebody talked to Grandma Emmerich that way.
Jeff, I wasn't mean to her. I think you're really...
I've brought many, many people to your radio show, and reoccurringly I get... They're put off by your bombasticness, and I always say, well, I'm sure Paul Revere had B.O. and maybe bad breath, but it doesn't undermine the message.
Man, listen, I really think that you're conflating this or expanding in a mountain out of a molehill. I was frustrated by the fact that we know the shortwave's really been jammed or having problems or whatever it is, and so we get calls 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 a day, emails about it. There's YouTube videos where people show that as soon as my show comes on, it'll be clear before. The minute my show comes on, it goes, it'll be like, this is Billy Bob. And then all of a sudden, you know, the ad ends, and then my show comes on, and it goes. So, you know, we pay to be on that shortwave, and it doesn't pay for itself. So, again, I'm just one guy. People all day email me and call me and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. We're flying by the seat of our pants here, man.
Deflecting my comment. Focus on what I'm telling you. She's 81 years old.
Yeah, it's great.
Old.
It's great.
It's amazing that she's even in the fight.
Well, I told her I was sorry that shortwave was so bad.
No, you're missing the point. You were gruff with her like you do people that frustrate you. That
I was not gruff with her. We can go back and play the call.
I've listened to it. Yeah, you were. Or I wouldn't waste my time on the line calling you.
Would you rather me just quit? Would that be good if I just quit?
No, Alex, you're doing a great job. I opened up with that comment. I've listened to you for 8 years. I'm doing everything I can do. You're out ahead of everybody. I acknowledge that, but you missed it yesterday.
I miss it every day. In fact,
you don't need to do it with a little old woman. It's amazing.
Sometimes at 3 a.m., You know, I miss the toilet, too. I mean, I'm not, I mean, I put the pants on one leg at a time here.
Don't want no shackles. Don't want no shackles on me. I sat down with Big Brother. Don't like those RFIDs. Got the blues about my freedom. Got the blues about tyranny.
That is the one, the only, Jimmy Vaughn.
I got the blues about
tyranny. You can Google Jimmy Vaughn.
Got the
no shackles, and you can see the live performances of it and a lot more on YouTube and all over the place.
I sat down.
Actually, his performance of that at the Texas Independence Rally last year in March is in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement's extras. Speaking of having to cut people off, if I'm going to go to all your calls,
and if I want to travel,
I need to cut this song off, though I'd love to play that and Jimmy Vaughn music all day here on air. The same thing for that nice lady, 81, awake to the New World Order. I don't think she probably broke her conditioning. I think she's been awake for a long time. There's a lot of folks, 81, 85, 87, 88. How old's Hutton Gibson now? In fact, old-timers tended to know about this. But just a very strange call. I don't want to digress and just have a lot of calls to get to and a lot of news to cover. But John Harmon, you know, who runs things up in Minnesota, he was popping in my ear during the break going, what's that guy talking about? You had that lady on for like 4 or 5 minutes. And then we had to get, you know, to the next person or we never get to your calls. John, you wanted to comment on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was at least 3 minutes with that lady and you were patient with her. She, you know, you explained to her that shortwave is unreliable. So, and you nicely said you should get a computer because that is totally reliable and you always get the feed no matter what. So, yeah, you spent plenty of time.
Then I said to the listeners, that's why we need AM and FMs and pretty much everywhere. Or we could do micro FM. Or I said, here's a number for you to call or you can listen to the show.
Exactly.
And then I even tried to give her a tip knowing that we found out my grandmother was still on some 20-year-old phone plan because, you know, they don't know. Where you're, you know, she was still paying like, 30 cents or something a minute when you can go out and basically get unlimited or, you know, 2 cents a minute or Vonage, which is a regular phone. They just come put it in. So I was giving her good advice.
Yeah. I
should have just said, and this is what other show hosts do about shortwave. They go, yeah, we're all being jammed and I'll get right on that. And I guess just tell them what they want to hear. The problem is I don't do that.
Yeah, there's a million ways to listen to the show, and you were patient with her. I didn't think that came off at all, that you were being rude, so.
Well, I'm evil, basically. I have to come to grips with that. Look, man, a lot of days I get in here, and I'm upset about what's going on. I'm upset about all the news. I'm upset about what's happening. When I sit around the dinner table with my wife, freaked out. I sit around the dinner table with friends, freaked out. I mean, this is not a game or a joke. I try to have some fun. Now, I'm actually a funny, nice, friendly guy, except when I get in war mode. And I don't know why I'm held to such a high standard, but nobody else is. I mean, I get emails every day viciously attacking, saying, you didn't interview me, or you didn't cover this event, or you didn't cover this story, or you didn't respond to my email. I mean, it's hard enough to read them. I want your emails. I'm reading them. We're reading them. A lot of times we print off stacks of things I want to respond to, then I just forget about it. I mean, I got radio station promos to cut for stations. I'm not whining either. I'm just, folks, people think this is like some big glistening building with, you know, antennae and gun turrets on it, and there's thousands of people in suits with shaved heads typing at computers, and we're all, that's you, folks. You're the info war. You're the power. Not me. I'm lucky if I can get a cup of coffee around here. But I don't want to digress into this, but it's become such a big issue because people personalize me, and then they want to reach out and talk, or they want to reach out and be able to, all the time, people come eat lunch with me while I'm on the air during lunch. Well, come have dinner with me. You know, people come knock on the door. Hey, cover these documents. And then A month later, I haven't covered them, and they come back and they say, you are going to be sued for serving the New World Order. I am indicting you for working for George Bush. And then the lawsuits, I've been sued repeatedly. Insane, crazy lawsuits, we got to go answer them. Then the person sues a bunch of other judges and people, and then they get arrested, and they go, I know you did that. I know you ran it. I'm suing again, or I'm going to blow your head off, boy. Meanwhile, I'm getting griped at for not picking my underwear up or putting the toothpaste lid on. I don't blame my wife. I'm you know, I walk around with a stream of destruction at the house, you know, and in soup bowls out, you know, when I'm up till 2 a.m. doing some interview. And the chihuahua, you know, I don't put the chihuahua in its little bed area so it sneaks off and drops poodle bombs, and then it's my fault. I mean, I'm a regular guy, folks. Regular guy, not Superman. I want to make it clear. And I do not want to talk about myself anymore, but I have to because everything I say is being analyzed. Everything I do is being looked at. Hey, the bankers are imploding the economy. They're sucking everything dry right now. They are poisoning the water and the food by design to brain damage us. That's hardcore. And so, seriously, folks. All right. Kazakh from Jamaica. Sorry to keep you holding. Go ahead, Kazakh.
Yeah, this is Kazakh.
From Jamaica. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Kazakh. How you doing?
Good.
All right, Alex, I should have told him from the get-go, like the other guy, that I disagree with you. I went to hit a line. But anyway, this is my issue. All right?
Yeah, go ahead.
You keep talking about saving America. All right? Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question. What country or who is Babylon the Great, and who are the Edomites?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different views on that. Every group in the world, right, basically, from Malaysia to Jamaica to the Ashkenazi to the British to Russian groups, believe they are the Lion of Judah. You know, they are God's people. And that then other people are counterfeits. I don't get into it. I think everybody's good, black, white, old, young, you know.
Yeah, the Bible doesn't say that, though. You say you're a man of the Lord and you study, and you're into the Bible and you believe the Bible is true. So, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say everybody is.
Well, let me ask you a question. Am I? I mean, hold on, let me finish. I'm a Heinz 57, you know, of Germanic bloodlines, mainly out of England, Germany, and France. And then also some Native American. And so what am I? I mean, am I a devil?
Hold on. You said Native American. Is that on your mother's side of family or your father's side of family?
My father's. And so you're going through Ethiopian Judaism and telling me that it's not my mother. Hold on, it's not my mother? I mean, but tell me, I've got devil seed in me.
Say again?
I mean, tell me, is a white person of the seed of Satan, from your view?
All Edomites are the seed of Satan. White people are the devil, yes. That's what I'm saying.
Look, I know your religion. Right? I understand your religion.
Say again?
That's why Marcus Garvey and all that stuff. So I'm the devil. Okay, I understand. It's like the last
white
caller. I'm bad.
White people are the devil. All right. The fact that you have Indian on your father's side of the family means, and it explains why you're so passionate about this. And what you were trying to, you see, I was like you. I'm trying to convince wicked ass people, excuse my French. All right. That what's going on in the world. I used to give them your DVDs and all this, and I used to catch hell for it. Okay. You're not going to wake up the wicked. Yeah. You have to understand who is who, and you have to go back to the Bible. That's why America is Babylon. You don't think America is Babylon the Great?
Any nation that...
If it's not America,
well,
who
can
is
I
it?
Answer your question? You keep asking... You ask questions. Do you want the answer?
Go ahead, sir.
Any nation, whether it was the original Babylon, the Tigris-Euphrates, 55 miles south of where Baghdad is today, or whether it was ancient Rome, or whether it was Greece, or whether it was African kingdoms, or whether it was Asian kingdoms... powerful empires always become corrupt. It's the nature of entropy in society. It's the nature of elites becoming decadent. It is the nature of man. And it was the transatlantic slave trade that misinterpreted the Bible, that said that blacks were Edomites, and so they were basically sinners, and so they deserved to be slaves. Now other groups then can then take that and say, well, no, actually, you, the white devil, are the Edomite. And then it just goes on and on, and so much bad has been done in the name of that. So I have the white supremacists hating me. I have the Christian identity people hating me. I have the black Israelites disliking me. I have every group, because I don't believe you're inherently evil because you're black or you're white or you're Chinese. I don't. And I'm sorry, I never am. So I don't understand.
All right, well, let me defend my position, okay? Because you say you're into the
Bible.
But
I knew your position. You notice I knew your position beforehand, because I am studied, sir. I just don't get into
it. I'm sure you do. I'm sure I've sent you emails, and I'm sure you're a very well-read person, so you would know about the black Hebrew Israelites. But what I'm trying to show you is that you swear by the Bible, and then you keep saying that people are inherently wicked. The Bible tells you that a group of people are inherently wicked. It tells you that a third of men are the children of the devil. And it tells you that Edomites, he hates them. He hates them. The Bible says that. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So what are you telling me? You're not going by the Bible. You're going by your own thoughts.
And then there's, well, that's your interpretation of it. And then there's the whole debate.
Isn't that what it said? What do you mean by interpretation?
Well, number one, I get up here and I talk about people coming together against corruption, people getting back to a rule of law. And let me explain something. The United States has never been perfect, but it's because we had the power and the wealth, because we had more liberty on average than other nations, that such wealth was created. So the New World Order took over this country and has used it as an engine of the New World Order. And you need to judge a tree by its fruits. I mean, look, there is evil all across the world in every group.
You'll know the wicked by their fruits, right?
Pardon me?
You'll know the wicked by their fruits, right?
Absolutely, and you can look at the fruits all over the world, man.
Killing the Indians?
Absolutely, absolutely.
The whole world?
Absolutely. Well, let me... Hold on, you just made another statement. Did you just say the Native Americans were easy to conquer because they would literally come and say, hire us to go kill these guys and then share some of their land with us? They were just like the white men. They just weren't as well organized. They were tribal, and so they wanted to settle old scores with the next tribe. And so through divide and conquer, the British model, they dominated the North American continent.
They were not just like the white men, all right?
People, oh, really?
Just like the Bible says, people take part in the fornication of the devil. You know what I mean? The exact scripture is not in my head right now, but basically what it says, we all took part in the wine of the fornication of Babylon the Great. So it's just like the Indians were seduced, everyone else was seduced. Everyone, even right now in Jamaica, man, a couple years ago, they would kill a gay guy if he was openly gay. Okay? But now it's all acceptable. When Leviticus tells you they should be stoned to death, come on, man. America is Babylon the Great. It's the
Jesus didn't stone Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, he didn't stone Mary Magdalene, but you know what he said? Matthew 10, verse 34, he said, think not that I come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. He's coming to bring war and division, okay? He's not here for peace. He's not coming to bring peace.
Right.
You're not going to make peace with the devil, man, and wicked people. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Well, I'm just telling you that there, you have to read the whole of it, and there's a lot of nuances, and you can interpret it however you want.
Man.
Well, I guess that's
okay.
what the New World Order wants. Well, how do you know you're right about being the chosen people?
How do I know? Because the prophecies in the Bible tells you, in Deuteronomy, it tells you exactly. Matter of fact, thank you for saying that. How do I know I'm the chosen people? These people in Israel, these gutterats, calling themselves Jews, when the Bible says we won't be there until the Lord's Son comes back and bring us there.
Sure. Listen, okay? Sir. I gotta be fair to the other callers. I've given you about 10 minutes, and this is what I'm talking about. I put people at the head of the line that disagree, so you can hear it, and because it's interesting and informative. But I mean, it's pointless. This whole argument, this whole debate, I am going to continue to expose evil. I'm going to continue to expose corruption. And because King Solomon took a wife from Ethiopia, you know, then we get this whole extrapolation out that, and I've had plenty of black people come by me when I'm at restaurants or whatever. I grew up in Dallas. And, you know, but I don't judge then all black folks because I was called a honky. Or more than 15 times I had groups of blacks attack me in Dallas. And you know what? That made me stronger. Okay? That which does not kill you only makes you stronger. And I don't hate black people because I've been called cracker and honky and been hit upside the head by a brick. And I fight so that the New World Order doesn't carry out its eugenics against black folks. Okay? And this is a very wicked ideology. The New World Order has that ideology that, you know, they're the Merovingian line, you know, the secret line and all of this. And this is what makes the world go round. And you got every group saying they are the chosen people. And you had Jesus who said, you know, they are the synagogue of Satan. There are those that call themselves Jews or not Jews. He was talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who had overturned the Levitical law from Mount Sinai and Moses, and who had forsaken the Torah because they'd been in captivity in Babylon, and they had come back with the Babylon mystery teachings and were teaching that as Judaism. Now, were the 12 tribes diverse? Did the 12 tribes go in different parts of the world? I mean, are there Hebrew standing stones in England and in Canada and in Minnesota? Did the Vikings not have that in some of their language? Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's what Russian means, is Rus or Red or the Norse, the Northmen. I mean, you talk about evidence. And so you have this diversity of people in the Mediterranean area in trade through the fjords, the rivers, across Europe into Central Asia. And they've dug up, you know, Viking settlements, Norse settlements in northern China, in western China, in Mongolia. So we are all interrelated, and I am not going to partake of the whole white supremacist ideology, and I'm not going to take part in the exploding black Israelite movement. Okay? Now, I will try to keep the HIV virus out of the shots, and I will try to defend little black children, little white children, little red children. Okay, we'll come back and take more calls. Stay with us. Tribalism is very alluring. It's in our basic programming. But I have dreams of humanity living together in peace with shared goals and ambitions to people with stars. To discover the secrets and mysteries of the universe. To love each other and live in peace. Will we ever reach that goal? I don't know. But I know this. We better work for it or we're going to destroy ourselves. So much denial. You know, it's all over mainstream European and Chinese press that the Rand Corporation was pushing the Pentagon to run sneak attacks against Russia or China, quote, to restart the economy. We saw 2 months ago a sneak attack on a Russian enclave by NATO-backed forces via Georgia. So a lot of evidence backs this up. People ask me, what are you doing putting out Chinese propaganda? We're just reporting on what is big news in China. Again, nitpicking. Would you rather us not tell you this is being debated and discussed? We're just here to put out the information. You can judge it for yourself, look into it for yourself. We ask you to, and to decide what you want to do. All right, here's the deal. You know, I said I want to take a lot of calls today, and we are, and I've only taken two in the last hour because each call's, you know, on 4 or 5 minutes, and, well, one call's on about 4 minutes, the other call was on about 10. I want to really try to get to everybody here. Walt in Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead, Walt.
Hello, Eric.
Eric, by the way, my name's Eric.
I'm sorry. It's excuse me.
Go ahead.
I had that on my mind because that's why I called. My name is Walt Williams, by the way. That's my whole name. I'm not afraid to say it. And I'm calling you, and I'm hoping that you won't put me on hold and let me respond to what you say.
I know. You've called before.
But every time I
hold
call
on, put him on hold again. I let you call. I know who you are. I think you're the guy that pushes the person that lies about me and says I work for the Vatican. And I will not sit here and make money for and promote somebody that lies about me with wanton abandon. Now, if you've got any issues you want to say about the Catholic Church or any exposés you want to do, go ahead. But if you want to come on my show and promote somebody that's a liar, it isn't going to happen, sir. Now, go ahead.
Smars attacked him on your show the other day without naming him.
Look, I'm done. I'm done talking to you, okay? Okay? It is not going to happen on my show. There are a few people out there who have told just incredible lies about me, and I'm not going to, again, this whole show is turning into Alex Jones. Okay? Look, you bear false witness, you promote people that do, don't expect this is a platform for you. Okay? Go tell your lies about me. Go right ahead. I know it upsets you when I expose the Vatican, because then it heaps coals on you, and you know you promote a charlatan. Ryan in Wisconsin, you're on the air. Go ahead. Gonna try to move quicker here. Go ahead, Ryan. He just dropped, okay? James in Oklahoma. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
I got a question for you. It's about organized militias.
Okay.
I know you've had a lot of calls to the contrary today. My question is, how? I live in Oklahoma. I live in a very rural spot. I live about 20 miles from the nearest town. My question is, how do I inform people that I'm starting a militia?
It's a very complex issue. It's extremely nuanced. And
because, I mean, I've looked all over the net. There's nothing. I mean, there's a lot of people that have militias on the net, but nothing to promote them.
I tell you what, we're going to break, and I'm going to come back to you. And then we're going to, I'll spend a few minutes giving you the basic boil down of my view on militias. It's very, very, very important. It's part of our country. I support it. But it's also one of the most dangerous things you can be involved in. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I've opened phones. I'd love to talk about the banker takeover bill and how they're looting everything and openly saying they're giving most of the money to themselves as bonuses. The election, the poisoning of the population, the water and food supply, all of it. 1-800-259-9231. But briefly, James in Oklahoma was saying basically he wants to form a militia or he wants to get involved with one. Let me explain this. In the founding of this country, when settlers came into the eastern area, they set up local defense groups for their towns, their tiny hamlets, and their cities. Those were called militias. And they had innumerable wars with the natives and with the French and back and forth. And then the standing militia, the unorganized militia, two different types, were instrumental in defeating the British in that eight-year war with guerrilla warfare. Now, the feds claim today there is no lawfully constituted militia by the individual citizens or the posse or the civil defense, that only the National Guard is militia, and they say only the National Guard existed. Well, that's not true. It was set up in 1906. All the major jurisprudence, the records show that every man 18 to 44 is a member of the militia to be called out by the sheriff, the county, the governor. Now, Switzerland has the same thing. Every able-bodied man, you know, can be called out. He has to have a gun by law. They've demonized that. Now they try to prosecute, just like you should do in England, starting in England. Anybody, you know, you shoot somebody in your house, they come arrest you in many states. You stab somebody trying to rape you, you go to jail. You know, a criminal falls through your skylight. your sky window, and breaks their back, they sue you. It's all about training you that you can't defend yourself. So I'm all for militias. I think people, you know, should call it, you know, Neighborhood Defense League or whatever, because the enemy has demonized that name. And I watched hundreds and hundreds of people in the 90s, as they saw the New World Order taking over, being set up, they would go form militias, they'd do training, then they'd send feds into them, they'd bury pipe bombs on their property, they would get them to shoot their mouths off at a campfire and then arrest everybody. You know, they're doing it to the Muslim groups now, too, and other groups. And it comes out every day. It came out in the Associated Press, what, 2 days ago, that the informant was leading the Muslim group, went out and found the young Muslims, got them to talk about carrying out violence. Feds were leading this white supremacist group, got them talking about doing violence. The black Israelite group out of Miami 2 years ago, back in June of 2006, over a year, the FBI gave them over $150,000, six different guys. A couple of them were mentally retarded, street kids. Got them to talk about how they were going to attack the federal building. Paid them to videotape the federal building. It was all made up. And on the news, Black Army to kill everybody. Black Army was going to blow up the Capitol and blow up D.C. and a nationwide death. And people were, But then a week later, it was admitted and they had to drop it all. Basically, it was all staged. Or the feds deliver, you know, in Canada, the Mounties deliver ammonium nitrate to the door of some Muslim teenagers. I mean, it's provocateuring to get the basic headline to fearmonger everybody. So that's what's going on there. And so the militia, you know, organized a bunch of guys out in the woods. I mean, I'm not going to get my listeners in trouble. I'm just going to tell you, it's a very dangerous thing to get involved with because there's more feds in there provocateuring than you can shake a stick at. But should you get together with friends and families and neighbors and have an agreed-on plan of defense of yourselves? Yes. But it isn't going to come like that, like Red Dawn. It's going to be shut the power off, engineer riots, have the public beg for militarization. Does that answer your question, James?
Kind of, but yeah, but that's just the thing. If they shut the power off or shut the water off, we're ready. I mean, it's not going to be like... I understand it's not going to be like Red Dawn, but that's just it. I want to be able to respond to something of similar nature. You know what I mean?
Yes, we'll come back to you and give you a few minutes on the other side to finish up your statements because I was on a diatribe answering your question. Then we'll go to everybody else that is patiently holding. Charles, Lamar, Wes, Dan, and others, stay with us.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. I've told you for a long time it's important to be self-sufficient, and today that's more important than ever. We need to be independent, and food and water is the key. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. You'll never have to go to the Superdome and beg for FEMA to take care of your family in any emergency if you simply prepare. Our elected representatives wanted a good old boy bailout for the special interest, so they ignored your screams not to do it. They turned off the telephones and email. They voted to print $850 billion at least out of thin air. This money now owns the American and European banks. The exploding inflation that is now guaranteed will slash your life savings to nothing and blast the cost of necessities, particularly food, beyond many Americans' reach. In pre-Nazi Germany superinflation, the cost of a loaf of bread doubled every 2 days until it reached over 4 billion marks. Food prices are skyrocketing so fast, there seems as if there may be no end in sight. The private banks merging with our government are refusing to loan grocery stores enough money to restock their shelves. The stores have less food but jack up prices to stay in business. Whatever happens in America, we need to be prepared and be ready. Everything is zeroing in on food. One-third of Americans have to choose between buying food and paying for other necessities. My friends, whatever it takes, get prepared, get self-sufficient, get food. For everybody out there listening, it's very important for you to understand that by having a supply of storable food, the government, the New World Order, has a lot less control over you. And so it's a mindset of self-sufficiency and preparedness. No one is going to take care of your family in the final equation but you. You know eFoodsDirect.com is still able to ship storable food that's safe from E. coli, salmonella, genetic alteration, or Chinese imports. And they do it at almost half the cost of last year's grocery prices. Call 1-800-409-5633 or on the web, go to eFoodsDirect.com. Visit eFoodsDirect.com and look over the fine list of high-quality, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods they have to offer. Watch the free videos, look at their online catalog, or give them a call at 1-800-409-5633. Again, 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Take action today. The first step is getting storable food.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
A ton of news and phone calls coming up this hour. Kevin Booth, the maker of American Drug War, which has really had a big effect on cable TV, will be joining us to talk about the election and a lot more. James in Oklahoma is talking about, you know, how to form militias, why to form militias. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. This, basically, I don't feel like, in history, no revolution has ever been won by peaceful means. Am I right?
Most aren't.
I mean, it's always come down to fighting.
Well, a lot of times corrupt systems collapse of their own accord.
Well, I mean, and they can label me whatever they want to. The thing is, I don't really see it. When they come to take the guns, which Obama was will probably do, and he more than likely he'll be our next president. I know a lot of people that won't give them up. A lot of people. I mean, yeah, we're probably rednecks, whatever you want to call us. But
well, let's bring this up. And I'm not saying it's an insurmountable enemy, but what are you going to do if they release a deadly bioweapon that kills 30 million people?
They sell gas masks.
No, I understand. My point is, I think people underestimate just how ruthless the globalists are. The whole police state is just a grid, a straitjacket, to tie us down while they chop us up in pieces.
Understood. They've been doing it for a while.
So people need to understand, they're going to stage even bigger things in the future to pose as the saviors.
I mean, it's kind of like, do you sit on your hands or not? I mean, people got to wake up. That's basically all there is to it. If they don't, it's our undoing. I mean, and that's why I ask the question I ask, you know?
Well, the international bankers don't like nations with large middle classes. And so they like to take them down, put dictators in, and kill 20-30% of the population. And they are planning that here. The government is completely rogue, totally criminal from top to bottom, and is just rotting. The best we can hope for is just a collapse of the system. And it looks like things aren't going well for the New World Order, and that may just happen.
Well, let me ask you this. Oklahoma, they more or less told the federal government to cease and desist when they passed that.
Well, they passed that in 94, so the feds bombed them.
Exactly.
And then they passed it again this year.
Exactly.
No, listen, don't think we're the only ones that know this. There are people everywhere that know. That's why waking the people up, letting them know the bad guys are in control, just passively not going along, passively knowing they're a bunch of dirtbag crooks, that will beat them. You know, we don't have to have some big resounding victory like the Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger running in and the whole country saved because of one national TV program. It's going to be a process.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people in government have got to ask themselves. You've lived in denial. You've denied everything we told you, even though it was right out of government documents. Now it's all happening. Do you understand you're destroying your own future? You know, I saw a guy at a gas station getting out of his federal car yesterday with this big, you know, federal eagle on the back of his black shirt and staring everybody on a big power trip. Those guys are a mile wide and an inch deep. And it's their shallowness is what makes them so dangerous. They have no idea who they're working for. They have no idea what they're involved in. They have no idea how expendable they are. But they will find out. And then they will laugh and giggle now, but as things get worse and worse, they won't laugh and giggle anymore. It's like all of them that came before them. You know, these greenhorns and all of this in the system aren't concerned. They're arrogant. Just like a lot of these new soldiers that go into combat, when their leg or arm gets blown off, you know, they're real tough. But when their arm or leg gets blown off and they see They see their guts all over the wall. They start crying for mommy. So, I don't... all I can do is tell the truth and warn people and let the chips fall where they may. But we have the people that funded Hitler, Stalin, Mao running the country right now, and they mean to kill, I'd say, one out of three people. You look at three people on the street, they plan to at least kill one of those three people.
Well, let me ask you this. When do you think that this is all going to come down? In the next year or two?
It's a process, and they're behind schedule. They would have already staged more terror attacks, but we exposed that they were behind it. So that really took that bag of tricks away from them. It's now mainstream news. They stage terror attacks. People, the majority of the public, you know, say, well, of course, everybody knows that. The majority of people know the government ships in the drugs. The people now know that the private banks are looting everything and that they're becoming the government. But again, the establishment's gone too far. They can't turn back now. They know they're exposed. They know their criminal operation is out in the open. And so I don't know. I mean, they could do anything, detonate nukes and blame it on a foreign country. We know that's in their bag of tricks. That's in the cards. Bioweapons, chemical weapons. They snuck attack Russia 2 months ago out of a clear blue sky. These people are capable of anything. NATO came out and said things that were never said during the Cold War. They said, we may preemptively nuke Russia. And Russian generals literally had the blood go out of their faces and went on TV and said, why are you doing this? I mean, this is serious, folks. The New World Order is blood hungry. They're bloodthirsty. They're just crazed on power trips. And listen, I appreciate your call. I gotta move on here. James, good talking to you. Charles in California, then Lamar, West, Dan, and others.
Hey, Florence Jones, how you doing?
Good.
I'm sorry, I like to add FLUO to people's names these days, you know, because everyone's so poisoned. But I love being part of this movement, and I appreciate that you got me hooked on to the Ecolo Blue a month and a half ago or whatever it was. I was looking for a way to, you know, not drink poison. I got that now.
Ventura saw Willie Nelson's air water from Air Filter and just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. It was pretty cool. If I may, I'd like to make a few points. One thing you mentioned, Heroes, I watched that show. You know, one of the few things I do watch on the programming. But I searched it into Google because I wanted to see if people were talking about it. You know, how he mentioned New World Order or whatever. And it happens to be that the show after that, the first 15 minutes in the show after that, I'm not sure if you saw this, but also mentioned New World Order, my own worst enemy or whatever, with Christian Slater. 15 minutes into that show, same way it was 15 minutes into Heroes, mentioned New World Order too.
Yeah, let me explain. They call it product placement, but when the government does it, I call it propaganda placement. Here's an example. That movie Anger Management, I forget the exact number. I want to say $4 million. You can pull it up. I'm going from memory. That the Pentagon paid just to have pro-Army messages in the movie. And so, yes, they're paying to acclimate everyone. They're now openly merging the U.S. with the European Union. That's all been announced. The banks are openly setting up world government. And they just need to now tell the public. And so it's all part of acclimation.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to ask you a couple more things. My friend recently is reading these books or whatever of Kurt Vonnegut Jr. You've heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
He must be in the same category as, like, George Orwell, huh? Being, like, involved with some intelligence. Supposedly he was, like, an engineer of General Electric, my friend said. I was like, oh, there you go. General Electric's, like, isn't that the company that, whatever, like, owns the media and everything?
Well, Kurt Vonnegut was a great guy, and he died, was it earlier this year or last year?
Maybe last year.
Well, out of the blue, I got contacted by his partner. Uh-huh. And I want to get him on, Joe Petro. And he contacted me, I guess, about 3 years ago. And he said, Kurt has seen some of your videos. He just wants to thank you. And he wants your address to send you something. And then I got a letter from Kurt Vonnegut, and then also we put this on the web, a little framed painting he did that you know, says to Alex on it from Kurt Vonnegut, and it's a birdcage with the door open. And Kurt did know that 9/11 was an inside job before he died. I guess about it, memory serves about 10 months ago, but I'll look it up. And I talked to him, but I'm not going to go any more detail than that. We talked to him, and he just was basically, look, I'm too old, I'm done. Because about 2 years ago, he gave a speech at a university, his alma mater, and then said, I won't be back. But no, he wasn't a New World Order guy. He was a smart guy, and he had been a prisoner of war. What was it, shot down in Germany, and then he'd been in bombing raids, you know, having the base he was kept in. They were keeping him in an old slaughterhouse, bombed. So he wrote Slaughterhouse Fives with the sirens of Titan. And so I didn't really hammer him or push him to get Kurt Vonnegut on, but Kurt Vonnegut was a great guy.
He clearly was very educated, because the things my friend's telling me, it's just like, wow, you know, it's like everything he seems, a lot of the things he wrote about were just all like trying to, you know, tell people. But also, I had this thought the other day about the, you know, that Obama gun incident thing where they were going to kill him or whatever, supposedly. Is it possible that that was, what's your take on that, first of all? You think that was set up, or what do you think?
We always find out a year, 6 months down the road, but they've done many of those provocateur actions where they find these mentally ill people, normally below 20, who love to shoot their mouths off on the web, and then the feds provocateur them into making more boastful claims. And the whole thing was, you know, ridiculous how big it was, what they were planning, the stupid top hats and white tuxedos. So, yeah, I think it was staged. Throughout history over and over again, and it's happening to us. They just happen to have high technology and a lot of brainwashed people that have witnessed millions of simulated murders on television, who have been deadened to violence and torture. A lot of self-centered people on power trips working for a great agency of evil, using social engineering to just tear our society, our families apart. Whether you like it or not, for those of you that serve the system, you are with the people. You've just deluded yourself to think that you're doing good or that you're safe or that everything's going to be okay. Let's go ahead now and talk to Lamar in Maryland. You're on the air, Lamar.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
This is first time caller. Yeah, I have some information for you. It was about the Congress.
Yes.
And they had, it was on the radio, I heard. It was on, look it up on Google. I mean, not Google, but YouTube. And it was about the 10 steps they was going to do before they brought the New World Order, or the, you know, martial law. And
are you talking about the video of Naomi Wolf, or is it actually Congress up there talking?
It was Congress, and it was a secret meeting. And it got leaked. It was on certain radio stations. I don't know if you got it. You might already know, because I know you got, you know, you get a lot of information.
Yeah, I know who one of the radio hosts was, a very questionable source. But we know open martial law is being implemented. I mean, they've taken the safety off of the gun to America's head, telling Congress we'll declare martial law, activating army brigades, not just one, but many. I mean, we're under martial law right now. You know, 95% of the public doesn't want to bail out. They do it. 90%+ want to control the borders, they still don't do it. 75% to 80% don't want the war, they do it. I mean, that is martial law right there. They just, the government follows whatever laws it wants, doesn't follow other laws. The private banks are stealing anything and everything that's even bolted down. So we're in martial law.
Can I play a little bit of it for you? I don't know if you can hear it.
I think I've seen it, but go ahead if I can hear it.
Okay.
We very few, I might add, were so shocked, so horrified, so furious and concerned about the future of America by what was revealed to them inside the secret meeting. Well, folks, they have started to leak this secret information to independent news agencies around the world. The mass media said almost nothing, which is not a surprise, about the secret meeting of the House, mentioning only one of the items that was being discussed. The new surveillance techniques that are going to be used by the U.S. government.
Yeah, you know, people are saying a nuke's going to go off November 13th. People said that last week a giant flying saucer was going to go flying over Alabama. And again, the Houston Chronicle, all these other papers admit they built FEMA camps for the American people. You can go to urban warfare drills and witness the troops training for war with the American people. You can read the Army Times where they say it's for fighting the American people. You can watch videos all over local newscasts on YouTube all over the country of police working with the military. But we make videos about that, but hardly anybody else does, and it's always, oh, what we heard from a source behind closed doors. We had a congressman, in fact, two congressmen on, who did talk about how they were threatened with martial law. So that's confirmed. I'm not throwing out or poo-pooing, as they say, what you're saying, Lamar. I'm simply saying I stick to what I can prove, and I can't even get the public. I mean, a year and a half ago, last thing we put in Endgame, we were finishing it, George Bush and Merkel and Barroso, the EU, stood up there and said, we're merging the North American Union with the European Union, and I got the president saying it, and the public can't believe it. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And some people say, okay, well, that's the next step. You have no rights. You have no liberty. The Congress is signing over all its authority to foreign bodies, not just the executive, and foreign corporations, like the World Trade Organization and the International Bank of Settlements. So I don't understand the penchant on the web, though, to always talk about this secret meeting or that secret meeting, or what we got from this source, or what we got from that source. It's all right out in the open. But very interesting. I think I've seen that video clip, Lamar. Anything else?
No, that's about it, man.
Hey, in case I haven't seen it, email it to Aaron at Infowars.com, and I'll take a look. But I appreciate you calling in with it, okay?
All right.
Thank you, Lamar. Great to have you as a first-time caller, long-time listener. Wes, Dan, Grab, Chris, Cobra Commander, your phone calls are straight ahead. Infowars.com. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're here live, re-aired on stations across the country and on WWCR shortwave satellite, internet 24/7, free podcast, free archives, streams, restreaming. All up at prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. I want to go back to your calls in a moment, but I do need to start getting into some of all this important news that I have here in front of me as well. And it's gotten to the point where I may go a week now without even plugging my documentary films, books, and videos, other books and videos that we carry online at infowars.com and prisonplanet.com that link over to our secure online video and bookstore shopping cart. Remember, just because you are aware of the New World Order, just because you're aware of the North American Union, just because you're aware of the eugenicists that run the planet, the scientific dictatorship, doesn't mean your friends, your family, your neighbors are. And by the way, now people are more receptive to this information. You may have given people DVDs or films 10 years ago that laughed at you, but a lot of you have run back into them and had them tell you, oh, you were right. Well, now give them a video and tell them to make copies of my films. Endgame, Terror Storm, Truth Rising, Fabled Enemies. You get the DVD at Infowars.com in high quality, and then burn copies of those suckers. The power that that has. And it's the venue. It's the medium. Talk radio is great. Talking to somebody at a restaurant or church or the bar or wherever is great. Or in the stands at a football game. In the bleachers. But everything's visual now. Very few people read anymore or read books anymore. It's the film, these well-produced films. that show them the documents, that show them the globalists in their own words, that show them history. That's why videos are so effective. So please go to InfoWars.com today and peruse the bookstore and video store, not just my 20 films, 19 I've directed and produced, 20th I produced. And I guess if you count some others, it's like 22 I produced. But the point is, they're all there. And see how prolific the documentaries are, and also how timely. I mean, my films are evergreen because it's going off the globalist agenda. It's exposing it. So we're just tracking them. You can watch my first film made 11 years ago. Shot. A lot of it was shot 12 years ago in 1996. America Destroyed by Design. You can see a 40-pound lighter, Alex Jones, too. But the point is that it's evergreen. And that's the real test. That's the real judge of information, is what does it do over time? Does it become discredited? Does it become ridiculous? Does it look dated? Or does it have the look and feel of prophecy? And I'm not saying it's prophetic prophecy. We had their documents. We knew their agenda. And so, to the uninitiated, to fighting the New World Order, to those that aren't aware, those that haven't gone in the rabbit hole, they'll watch America Destroyed by Design, made 11 years ago. Police State 2000, made 10 years ago. Police State 2, The Takeover, made 10 years ago. Police State 3, Total Enslavement, made 8 years ago. The Masters of Terror, made 7 years ago. Road to Tyranny, made 7 years ago. Terror Storm, made 2.5 years ago. Endgame, made about 14 months ago, released. Truth Rising. They're all timeless because we really know what we're talking about. We really understand the agenda. And instead of saying, oh, aren't we great? Aren't we special? I'm like, man, it's dangerous to be one of the few prominent alternative media leaders who really hits the sweet spot on the ball, that really hits a hole in one, that really understands the agenda, because I actually study. People may think I can rant and rave, or I can talk, or you know, I do a good radio show, I do a bad radio show, you know, interrupting people, whatever. The bottom line is, I'm not so much even a talk show host or even a filmmaker as I am a researcher and someone who studied history and understands the enemy's program. So I hope you'll be part of history, folks, and help us wake people up in the most fertile ground mentally we've ever seen. The establishment's credibility is in free fall. In fact, it doesn't have much further to fall until it hits the bottom of the abyss. Now's the time to make hay, folks. You can go in there right now and wake people up like you never could before. Now, about 25-30% of the public is going deeper into denial. And I'm not saying you won't run into these poor people. And I don't have any sardonic pleasure in knowing just how sad they are. But move on. Don't, as they giggle and laugh and get that self-deluded, glazed-eyed look, that defense mechanism, move on. Don't spin your wheels. Move on to people that do care, that do know something's wrong, but just don't know how serious it is. There's more of those people than you could ever talk to. So don't waste your time arguing with people for the sake of arguing. Move on. Do not cast your pearls of knowledge before fluoride head, 5 hour a day TV head, people that as the New World Order is announced, as the world government is set up, as the martial law is announced, they will still be denying it as tanks roll down the streets. They'll still be denying it as their neighbors' kids are being kidnapped by the government or their children. I've seen them. They'll say, oh, it's just a mistake. The government means well. I don't understand. I keep telling them. Feel sorry for those people. You can't help them. Deep down, they know the truth, and they're scared, and so they can't face the darkness. And so instead of standing up against the evil and having a chance of beating it, they're going to embrace any and all wickedness. See, they buy into the delusion. They willfully embrace it. They turn their own minds off. The New World Order's propaganda is tailored to make you lazy, to make you make the decision to rationalize. So please go to Infowars.com to the secure shopping cart, get the books and videos, get them out to people. So you have them if they shut down the web, which they're already doing incrementally. Call toll free to get the videos, 888-253-3139. We have a two-page brochure that's got most of the products, books, and videos on it. I can ship that out to you, 888-253-3139. Or you can write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. All right, I've done that rant there. It's just, you know, it's bittersweet, best of times, worst of times, as they say. I feel really accomplished and good in the work we've done. Not in a prideful way, but in a somewhat satisfied way, and it encourages me to work harder. But there's also a great sadness that I've made so many mistakes and not been as eloquent or as well thought out as I should be, because I'm just human. But at the end of the day, I did the best I could. At the end of the day, I tried to be a good person. At the end of the day, I tried to take the high road. At the end of the day, I tried to empower those who had an important message. And we have a long road ahead of us. Some of us won't make it all the way to the end of that road, but you have to understand, you don't have a choice. You're on the road. There is no turning back on this road. It is the future. We stand here at the present, and we go forward into the future, using as our map the past, human activities, the way we operate, the way elites have always operated. You know, I want people to understand something who laugh at this radio show, and we get your emails. I want you to understand something. I got a couple emails yesterday making fun of me, sourcing the 64, 65, Dr. Strangelove, Stanley Kubrick, General Jack T. Ripper, Jack the Ripper, who launches Plan R to send an air wing against Russia to nuke them via continuity of government. That film is about continuity of government, being able to bring in martial law, being able to decapitate the presidency, being able to start World War III. You see, in the early 60s, there was actually a fight with NORAD, and there was a plan, and the Joint Chiefs, including LeMay, wanted to launch preemptive attacks. That's now been declassified. Kubrick had classified sources. And Kubrick makes jokes in that film. Jack Ripper goes completely insane because of, quote, communist conspiracies and the fluoridation of water, milk, ice cream, mandrake, children's ice cream. And I always get these emails saying, oh, you're a nut. That movie makes fun of it. Kubrick was very subtle. It was the heads of major medical institutions. It was chemists. It was governors who came out and said, you want to put sodium fluoride in the water when it's a deadly poison and doesn't strengthen the teeth? They had all the studies then. And now they've had 90-plus percent of the EPA scientists and toxicologists sign open letters and go to Washington and ask the EPA, their bosses, to take it out, and they were ignored. And all these top dentists and scientists and neurologists and, I mean, Google fluoride bone cancer. Google fluoride pancreatic cancer, fluoride, thyroid disorder. That's just one thing. It is a fact that sodium fluoride devastates you, especially children. It is a fact it lowers your IQ on average. Some studies show 10, some 30. The average study, there's a bunch of them, show about a 20% IQ reduction. I mean, they've studied comparable cities with comparable genetic complement, comparable economic status next to cities that have been fluoridated for 20, 30 years, and there's a massive difference in cancer, in diabetes, in IQs. And you just can't laugh and say that's not true. And just with fluoride alone, when you discover they knew it was poisonous, that the Soviets put it in the water, that the Nazis put it in the water, that the East Germans put it in the water, and that they didn't defluoridate many areas of East Germany until after the fall of the Berlin Wall, when you find out it's in Pulitzer Prize-winning books on World War II, when you find out it's a fact, doesn't that one issue open it all up to you? That we have engineers, social engineers, running things who in 1947 spent hundreds of millions of dollars in 47 money to go lobby to put that stuff in over 60% of the water supply out now, closer to 75. The cold-hearted will, the steel will of those upper-level engineers. Perfect compartmentalization. The local counties and cities and states don't know. The, you know, the local guys at the water treatment plant, well, we just put this in. They say it's good for your teeth. The doctors, the scientists, you know, they're not specialists in that. They don't go out and read the studies. Back then, it wasn't on the internet. You had to go to the library. You had to go to the research libraries. But it still got out. And the news just said, you're a bunch of crazy McCarthyites thinking there's a commie conspiracy. It wasn't a commie conspiracy. It was a eugenicist program in government documents out of England by the 1920s. And the Germans and the Russians picked up on that. It is a toxic sedative. Fluoride and its different varieties is one of the smallest particles, one of the hardest to filter. And its whole family is one of the most psychoactive and deadly out there. And it's time for the denial on that front to stop. I mean, I don't know how you can laugh, any of you, how you couldn't, if there was a 1% chance I was telling you the truth, why wouldn't you go research it and find out? I mean, look, we've come so far, we've got 90+% It's in mainline TV programs, mainline news reports this. 90+% of the EPA scientists got together, organized, and wrote a group letter to the EPA saying there's no doubt this is deadly. There's no doubt it's attacking the kidneys. That was their big one. Just rock solid, hundreds of studies on that alone. It just kills your kidneys. Burns the little buggers out. Those little filters, those little body filters, only two you got. That alone, devastating. 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 And now the people are realizing it. And so what do they say? Oh, we're going to spray it on the crops, and we're going to spray it on the food, and we're going to put it in the milk and the baby formula and water for babies. And schools go around. I remember going to Margaret Sanger Elementary School in Dallas. And I remember the day came where we got our free little fluoride pills and our toothbrush kit, and they have us take the red pills. And I remember getting so sick from that. Having my little brain hammered by that poison, which is just a massive dose. Those little red fluoride pills, I've looked up what they were putting in them, what they're putting them in today. It's 30, 40, 50 parts per million. When one part per million is what gives you a 20-point IQ reduction. And sometimes I think that's just the most effective thing to do for this radio show. Instead of all the calls and the confusion and the all of it, why not just get up here and do show after show on the GMO crops and how it kills the rats and guinea pigs they give it to and how they approve it for your table. Maybe I should just do show after show after show with the thousands of studies that cell phones massively increase brain tumors and testicular cancer. Why don't I just cover the things we can prove? I mean, because once you realize there are people that have the will to do what they're doing and that they're doing this by design, you realize nothing matters. Not status, not baubles, not acting cool, not any of the crud. It's just so screwed up. I can't even really enjoy social outings anymore. I can't enjoy my, quote, status. Reality has torn the false worldliness away from me. More and more. And all that's left at the core of my being is the desire to defend innocence, the desire to get people to unlock their own minds and see incrementally how we've been brought into a position that is a Holocaust all around us, with soft kill, chemicals and biologicals and radiologicals being added to the basic staples of life. We are being killed. We are being mutated. We are under attack, and there's no doubting it. I'm begging you, please look into the claims I've made. Find out it's true.
I'm ready for it.
Kevin Booth's going to join us in the fourth hour. I'm moving back because I want to keep taking your calls and get to the news. Covered some of it the first transmission. All right, listen. I want to take a lot of your calls. I'll never do it unless I just give each person about a minute and a half. So, let's go to Wes, Dan, Garv, Chris, Pat, and others as quickly as possible. Wes in Texas, you're on the air.
Greetings, my friend. This is Wes in Texas. For the lady Elder Ruth's poor reception, what she really needs is a length of wire and two alligator clips. That's your best friend for reception, you know.
Yeah, she can go into a Radio Shack and get a shortwave antenna. It costs like, what, $10? It's a black coil. You know, it's like a black plastic coil. It looks like a tape measure. And out of it comes a little clip that clips onto the antenna, and then she just strings it around until it gets better.
That'll sure work. Also, remember, the tyrant fears the jester's jibe more than the assassin's bullet. And don't forget to think about Project Mockingbird and Army Psychological Operations. They're doing stuff, and what are they doing? They're getting under your skin with about half the calls. They're tar babies. Don't let them drag us down. Hang up on them. We know what they are. We know your objective. We have faith in you. You have faith in us. Go ahead. Thanks a lot, man.
I appreciate your call. Yeah, a lot of them aren't government. There is government out there. The government starts the disinfo, and then the weak minds pick it up. And I'm not even sad by people that attack me. I'm sad for them. I'm sad for them. I mean, think about the people that run our government. They put sodium fluoride, that's a cover name, that alone is deadly, for all these other toxins in the water. I mean, go to a public place, look at little children, little babies, and then they poison them, they hurt them. I mean, it just... And you've got a cowardly public that just can't come to grips with that, so it's easier to laugh about it. It isn't funny, folks. That's only one of the ways they're attacking us. Where they're calling for New World Order, new clips. You know, all these presidential people, like Biden, world leaders, and we're not even playing them. I mean, I don't have to prove anything to you. It's right out in the open. We were right about everything. I mean, it's a nightmare. You don't have to go along with these authorities. These authorities are illegitimate. They're criminal. They're hurting us. They're hurting their own stupid enforcers. It's real. Bad people are in control. It really happened. They're arrogant. They openly take the bailout money and give it to themselves as bonuses. In some cases, it's over $500 million apiece for these executives. And they tell Congress, shut up and do what we say, or we'll use NORTHCOM on you. You don't know what NORTHCOM is? You better find out. Dan in Florida, go ahead.
The thought came to me the other day. You've had guests on, you know, over the years and recent months that they have contacts in the military, you know, top brass, and, you know, that are disgruntled with the way things are being run. And one of your guests comes to mind, Steve Quayle. I've heard his radio show, and he seems to have a lot of contacts. As he puts it, there is no higher pay grade with some of these people, and they're telling him stuff. And what came to mind the other day was, I'm surprised there hasn't been a coup attempt in this country. Is it because...
We already had a coup. The military-industrial complex didn't save us. They took over. just like they do in banana boat countries every week. Stay there.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The private offshore banks publicly run the government. They're openly transferring trillions and trillions of dollars, tax money we'll have to pay back at gunpoint, to themselves into private bonuses, you name it. And that's just the bonuses for the crooks running it. The private shareholders are stocking up and buying real assets. A lot of other news coming up, but let's continue with your calls. Garv in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how are you? This is Garv.
Welcome.
I'm honored to talk to you. I've been listening to you recently, and I'm actually a congressional candidate out here in District 24 running against two crooks, Tom Feeney and Suzanne Cosmos. And, you know, I went into this thing wanting to do public service, public interest. I think, you know, people can make a difference who are sincere.
Absolutely.
But, you know, but since the advent of the Internet getting popular in 2000 and so on, you know, your eyes start opening up to what's really going on. And I was one of those people in the beginning, you know, in the 90s, you know, wow, this is just conspiracy theory. But the more I looked into it and the information that you put out, and quite heroically, it's just amazing when you find out what's going on, not just locally, but in the international arena.
That's right. The crooks are making their move.
Absolutely. And, you know, we are at the precipice, and this is the time to strike while it's hot. This is still time right now to take action.
Yeah, what we do now, what we do now is going to shape the future. Like you know, nothing else in recent history. Those are called, you know, liquefied or unstatic times. You know, they say society gets rigid and freezes, but then it's unfreeze right now because they have to unfreeze it to build their new world order. But that also opens them up to be exposed. And so right now we've got to strike while the iron's hot.
Absolutely, before they take total control. You know, I'm originally from India with a population of 1 billion plus, and I've been in this country for over 20 years as a U.S. citizen, proud to be it. But it's scary what programs they have instilled for the third world, developing countries like China, India.
Oh, they've gone around in India under IMF World Bank loans, as you know, forcibly grabbing women and sterilizing them.
Yeah, and they did that in the emergency as well in the 70s, you know, Indira Gandhi's son. So it's scary what they're doing. And I don't know if you know about this little fact. It was in the news recently, but the National Bank of China, I don't know what's going on there, but they invested, they bought a 20% stake in the Rothschild Bank, in a Rothschild Bank in France.
Yes.
So I don't know what's going on there. What's the underlining meaning behind it? Are they affiliating with the Rothschilds?
They've always been. It was the Rothschilds of the British East India that shipped the opium in to take that country down 170 years ago or so. But really what we're dealing with here is a consolidation, vertical integration. The New York Times, again, got documents. They're even reporting what we already knew, that you've got the bank executives bragging that they're just taking over right now. It's very funny.
The arrogance is unbelievable. It's a complete, you would think this is the bizarre world, what's going on.
It is. I mean, look, they're poisoning us. They're killing us openly. You've got swaggering, arrogant Americans, you know, the 30% or so, that the establishment uses as their enforcers. And then you've got the rest of the people horrified and upset, but they can't even imagine how serious it is.
Right, and I want to let your listeners know it's absolutely true. I'm a biologist. I worked as an environmental scientist. I worked with the Social Security Administration as well in the past as a financial advisor. Fluoride is completely a detriment to your body. And also, what people don't know about is NutraSweet. I don't know if somebody told me this. I haven't really looked
into it. It's ultra-deadly. It's even worse.
Right. It causes Alzheimer's, leads to memory loss, the aluminum cans that they use.
Well, it breaks down into what alcohol. But that's only one component. Absolutely. And everybody knows what alcohol makes you go blind, causes brain damage. Sir, great to hear from you. Good luck with your campaign. We'll be right back with Chris, Pat, Matt, Aaron, and others. Stay with me.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. I've told you for a long time it's important to be self-sufficient, and today that's more important than ever. We need to be independent, and food and water is the key. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. You'll never have to go to the Superdome and beg for FEMA to take care of your family in any emergency if you simply prepare. Our elected representatives wanted a good old boy bailout for the special interest, so they ignored your screams not to do it. They turned off the telephones and email. They voted to print $850 billion at least out of thin air. This money now owns the American and European banks. The exploding inflation that is now guaranteed will slash your life savings to nothing and blast the cost of necessities, particularly food, beyond many Americans' reach. In pre-Nazi Germany superinflation, the cost of a loaf of bread doubled every 2 days until it reached over 4 billion marks. Food prices are skyrocketing so fast, there seems as if there may be no end in sight. The private banks, merging with our government, are refusing to loan grocery stores enough money to restock their shelves. The stores have less food, but jack up prices to stay in business. Whatever happens in America, we need to be prepared and be ready. Everything is zeroing in on food. One-third of Americans have to choose between buying food and paying for other necessities. My friends, whatever it takes, get prepared. Get self-sufficient. Get food. And for everybody out there listening, it's very important for you to understand that by having a supply of storable food, the government, the New World Order, has a lot less control over you. And so it's a mindset of self-sufficiency and preparedness. No one is going to take care of your family in the final equation but you. You know eFoodsDirect.com is still able to ship storable food that's safe from E. coli, salmonella, genetic alteration, or Chinese imports. And they do it at almost half the cost of last year's grocery prices. Call 1-800-409-5633 or on the web, go to eFoodsDirect.com. Visit eFoodsDirect.com and look over the fine list of high-quality, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods they have to offer. Watch the free videos, look at their online catalog, or give them a call at 1-800-409-5633. Again, 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Take action today. The first step is getting storable food.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Here's some other things that are attacking your brain and your entire body every day. Cell phones, sodium fluoride, other chemicals they put deliberately in the water. The deadly prescription drugs they push on the entire population through the ads on television, newspapers, and through the schools. But a big one is there are hundreds of different types of plastics that the chemists have come up with. But back in the 50s, the one that got pretty much accepted and was made standard worldwide, we've had scientists on about this, is a particular variety of plastic. There's only a few that do this, that leaches massive estrogen-mimicking hormones. Okay? And these estrogen-mimicking hormones, it takes a lot of discipline to stay away from these. I mean, here I am talking about it, and I should have a glass or porcelain glass to drink out of with my water generator, my atmospheric water generator, but no, I have a plastic cup. I mean, it takes a lot of discipline to get away from this. This thing leaches estrogen-mimicking hormones, and those build up in women and are a tribute to all the breast cancer and ovarian problems. You know, you got the hormones you're supposed to have. And in men, it makes men feminine. So, this stuff will get you killed. It'll get you hurt. So don't roll your eyes out there. I'm telling you this because it's documented. And they know everything they're doing. They chose, out of hundreds of types of plastics, the two subtypes that happen to leach this stuff. You understand? Melamine. Plastic, stuff you cover counters with. The Chinese, on purpose, are putting that in milk and food and thousands of food additives that are shipped here. Deadly. Tax your whole body, fries your kidneys. The EPA came out, and the FDA came out. The FDA was actually the one, last week? And said, melamine, not bad for you. I'm not kidding. Everyone knows it's totally deadly. Just killed a bunch of people in China. They just say, no, it's good. They say mercury's good for your brain. It's not true. In fact, I bet a lot of you out there are doubting me here. I'll just go to Google right now. I'll just go to Google right now. Watch this. Google. Okay. I'm on Google. We think of the exact headline with the stall of this together. And people say, oh, you can get anything off the internet. No, this is the Food and Drug Administration. Go to their website, okay? Public gets concerned about poison in the food. Oh, that's not bad for you anymore. Mercury and melamine, they used to be bad, but now they're good. What was the exact headline? FDA, melamine, not bad for you. I think that was it. FDA, melamine, not bad. Or maybe it was harmful. Didn't come up. I spell so bad that Google can't even... Oh, I misspelled. Oh, man. Let me see. FDA. Melamine. Not harmful. Spell melamine so bad that Google can't even fix it. John, how do you spell melamine? Go ahead and come on air. You're a good speller. Go ahead and try.
Melamine. Let's see here.
Melamine. Come on.
M-E-L.
M-E-L.
A.
A.
M-E-A-N.
M-E-A-N. Okay.
I doubt that's correct, though.
There you go. FDA. Look at this. This is CNN. Okay, FDA, tiny amount of melamine, not harmful to adults. And those other headlines that just said flat out it's not harmful. Eating a tiny bit of melamine, the chemical responsible for a global food safety scare, is not harmful, except when it's in baby formula, which it happened to be in. U.S. food safety officials said Friday melamine-tainted formula has sickened more than 54,000 children in China, and is being blamed for the deaths for at least four tots. The chemical has also turned up in products sold across Asia, ranging from candies to chocolates to coffee drinks. Now, used in dairy ingredients from China, authorities in California and Connecticut have found melamine in white rabbit candies imported from China. But infant formula made in the U.S. is safe because manufacturers do not use any ingredients from China. The Food and Drug Administration said Friday that safety experts have concluded that eating a very tiny amount of melamine, what about cumulative, 2.5 parts per million, would not raise health concerns even if a person ate food that was tainted with the chemical every day. Total bull. Without further ado, will you please pull up the mercury is now good for your brain clip? People don't believe this, so we play this at least once a month for you. We have another clip where they say poison in food is good from MSNBC. Mercury is good for you. Yeah, they put out two federal studies. They call them independent in this newscast, but they were federal studies that say, oh, well, we found kids got smarter with mercury. Funny, when I go to the health food store, it isn't on the shelf. Oh, mercury pills. Here it is.
Mercury-containing vaccines may have on kids.
A life-saving device wins over-the-counter approval by the FDA.
And sick of your glasses and contact lenses, a new corrective eye surgery is approved today.
Uh-huh.
Here's tonight's medical headlines with medical watch reporter Seema Mather.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics.
Oh.
There have been widespread concerns that mercury-based preservatives in vaccines might impair the neurological development of children. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Oh, you know, as they said, may. And notice how these newscasts roll. Hi, oh, we've got some new things for you to help you. Oh, corrective eye service may be available. It's all the government's your friend, the media. There's no new world order. Ugh. All right, let's go back to your calls here. Let's go ahead and talk to... I lose track of who's next, John. Chris in the great state of Colorado. Welcome.
Alex, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Bubba.
Excellent. It's an honor to be able to talk to you.
Honor to talk to you.
Thanks for all you do. The constant information over the years, waking everybody up. You woke me up. Thanks for that and helping everybody get prepared. You know, I got water filters, storable foods, I distribute your movies. I'm doing what I can out here a little bit. You know, even the old ones like Prison State, I mean, Police State 2000. I just watched that one the other day. It's still awesome. And you guys are my primary source for news. I don't watch Fox, you know, CNBC.
Well, you should monitor enemy transmissions.
Well, I can't help it. You know, I work as an EMT, and my partner's a Fox News head, so I'm in the process of turning him right now. It's kind of a delicate process. But anyway, I was calling partially to comment on the Jamaican caller earlier.
Yes, the white devil.
I didn't catch the beginning of it.
Well, I mean, I know the ideologies. I said, I'm a white devil.
Right.
And he said basically that I was reprieved because I had some Native American. I just, you know what, I'm sick of all of it.
Well, you know,
I'm tired of saying one group's evil and another, you know, I'm just tired of it.
Well, I'd like to say, you know, like, as somebody who appreciates the music of Bob Marley, like, you guys play Top Rankin', and that's one of my favorite Bob songs. You know, I think Bob was a prophet, you know, and he brought some light into this world, like a lot of people do, you know, some more than others, but like you and, you know, people, you know, greater than you.
The Babylon system is the vampire.
Exactly, you know, and I don't know if he's heard Ziggy Marley's new album, Bob's Oldest Son, and he's transcended Rasta, you know. He says, love is my religion, you know, and, you know, like Bob said in Top Rank, and, you know, they just want to keep us, you know, fighting each other because we're white or we're black or whatever, or because you're Rasta, you're in the 12 tribes, you know, you guys fight amongst each other. I mean, what's the deal? Cecil Rhodes, you know, divided people up over in Africa. You know, we can't forget that, you know, the manipulation when we get caught up into these categories. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Bob Marley was half devil. His dad was a Marine.
That's right. That's
British
right.
Marine.
So is my wife. She's half devil, too. So, but anyway, yes, I just wanted to say that about him. You know, we got to transcend that. You know, we got to look at the commonalities in the religion, the good and bad, you know, like from you and David Icke and Peter Joseph. You know, you guys all have, like, the same, like, overarching message. And even if people only believe 50% of what you say.
Yeah, I mean, I could have handled the whole Zeitgeist Peter Joseph thing better. It's just out of the gates saying that genetics doesn't really have much to do with how we behave and act. I wasn't denying that that nurture had a lot to do with it. And it was just kind of the being talked down to, you know, and I'm just tired of folks that don't live in Texas think we all ride horses to work and they're tumbleweeds. And, you know, I mean, that's really a cliche and a very small-minded to just say, because a lot of the people emailed me, just said, look, you're a dumb Texan. You can't even comprehend what he's saying. And, I mean, it's just mindlessness. I don't look at somebody if they're African or Indian or Japanese or from New York City and think they must be stupid.
Right. Well, I've listened to you for a couple of years. I know where you're coming from, and you know, I respect most of his message as well. I disagree on some stuff. But anyway, with the election coming up, you know, Obama looks like the guy. He's got his his hypnotic spells that he puts over people at the rallies, the neuro-linguistic programming, you know, with the gestures to get everybody to just nod their head and say he's, you know, the one. And it seems like he's going to be the guy, but, you know, I don't know. They're fudging the polls. The polls look really close. Do you think they're going to swing it?
You know, I think it doesn't matter who the establishment wants. I mean, the presidency's definitely fixed. Fixed by who they select. Nationally, they can steal it. In the final equation, it really doesn't matter. Other than the fact that the establishment clearly wants Obama because they know they'll be able to get more with a new face through over on the public before they figure out it's another scam. Like the establishment says, Obama brings people back to the table, back to trusting government. And so for that reason, I'd rather have McCain because he can get less done.
They don't want to see us unite. All they want us to do is keep on fussing and fighting. They don't want to see us live together.
Yeah, it's classic divide and conquer. Most of the people that are awake can't even go out and wake anybody up to the basic generalities because they're busy saying it's Protestant, it's Catholic, it's black, it's white. When the real problem is in the heart and soul of men. That's why this show's been so successful. We just show people historically how they can affect change. We show them the true cost. We explain the New World Order Master Plan, how they're waging war against free humanity. And then we ask you the question, are you going to do anything about it? Here are some of our ideas to take action. Do you have your own? Crank it up. Oh, the blood. Through your line. And
John saw them coming, ooh, with the truth.
In an ancient time.
From an ancient time.
Brotherly love.
The brotherly love.
The sisterly love. I feel this morning.
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love.
The sisterly love.
Sisterly love.
I feel this morning.
You know, you feel more loving in the morning.
Hey, they don't want us to.
I love it when my children run in the morning and jump on me at 6:30 a.m. You ever notice how much better it feels to squeeze and hug your wife in the morning?
Keep on fucking and fighting.
That's that basic tribal unity. That's when you awaken in your true natural state, your primitive state. Before the cerebral cortex and all the programming they've laid into you through your life kicks on, you feel the brotherly love.
Did you mean what?
The brotherly love, the sisterly love.
Are you skanking?
All right, let's go ahead and go back to the calls here.
Did you mean what you said?
Pat in New York, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
I was listening. I was actually kind of glad to hear when you were talking about police state, the videos, and the last caller had mentioned it. Man, they're great. Right now, they're finally caught up to their real time. I mean, 10 years ahead of themselves, and I'm just I'm starting to blast those off again. I think... anybody that doesn't have the set should definitely get it. And
that's right. It's on DVD, all three DVDs for super low price, and allows us to put more ammo in our info weapons.
Absolutely, and they're anyone that thinks, oh, they were made 10 years ago, they're right on time. But I had a question for you. It always kind of bewilders me, especially lately with the movement, so much energy going. When are we going to, or particularly, when are you going to cease from being alternative and hit mainstream? I mean, what's it going to take for these...
Well, let me answer our question. I mean, that's a good question. Our own movement sees anybody that's able to ever get any mainstream as a sellout. Oh, my gosh, Alex is interviewing celebrities. Well, obviously, that gets more people to wake up and to realize we are becoming mainstream. We need to take over the system. We need to have this be done peacefully if we can. And so folks think, oh, my gosh, this is, everybody's waking up. Oh, my gosh, all these TV shows are admitting New World Order. Oh, my gosh, Jane, we don't like this. We want to be the only ones that know about this. No. I've always said we are the main line. We are the normal people. We don't want poison in our water. We don't want mercury in the shots. We don't want cops coming up all over the country saying we can't have video cameras on the streets, but they can cram them down our throats. You know, we don't want cops killing people with tasers every day. We don't want our borders wide open. We don't want tyranny. And so we have to be, you know, ready for an idea whose time has come. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. And we are mainstream. That's why they're trying to shut down the web piece by piece. Because let me explain something. It's exponential. It's just, every week I say it's getting bigger. It's insane. It's insane how big it is.
Yeah, it is. And it's encouraging to see the energy. But what would it take? I mean, what is it going to take for these? You know, I'm sure there's probably thousands of wealthy, powerful people that could make headway into the CEO. You know, they have CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. What's it going to take for us to get our platform? I mean, before it's getting to the time now where it's time to move. And you know, these things I think are important to have.
Well, that's a vital question. Let me make a brief statement on the other side. I appreciate the call. Then on to others. Then I got to get to this news. Stay with us.
I'm going to leave you.
A lot of truly wealthy people don't get involved because they know the general public is extremely dumbed down, extremely selfish, very easy to manipulate. And all these issues are so complex. I could talk for an hour just on this alone. I know a lot of wealthy people, really wealthy people, who've just left the United States the last 3 years. I mean, the vice president is preparing to basically move out of the U.S., so is President Bush. They've done their job. They're globalists. They know that they're getting ready for a massive purge in this nation, and they don't want to be here for it. I mean, if you get a decadent, know-it-all people who turn loose of government, and decide that corruption doesn't exist, corruption will take over, and then it will run wild like a wildfire, burning everything in its path. And then people get hurt really bad, and a lot of times they fight back, and then liberty is born again. And people are a lot more serious, a lot more focused, and you have a time of plenty, and then their children and grandchildren become decadent. And then it all happens over again. So the elite said over 100 years ago, they said, well, we need a scientific dictatorship. We understand these cycles. We understand that resistance to our tyranny comes from the middle class. And so we'll just do away with the middle class and dumb down the population. We have all those documents, and we cover them in Endgame and other films. It's social engineering, and they teach us to be brutish. They teach us new values. I mean, people 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, didn't like violence on TV, didn't like images of death and destruction because they weren't desensitized. And more often than not, they had actually seen real violence. And so seeing somebody have their arm chopped off, well, that would remind them of seeing their daddy's arm chopped off in the farm equipment. Or seeing somebody shot up on a battlefield, that would remind them. World War II vets went to see Saving Private Ryan, where it was shot guerrilla style, very realistic. They'd have flashbacks, freak out, who never really had flashbacks because they were seeing something they'd been in. But you get a public who's never done anything, never even been in a fight, never been stabbed, never had a bone broken, never been shot at. And to them, I mean, I've gone, you know, back in high school and college days and seen people cheering and clapping during torture scenes in movies and enjoying it. You can go see Saw 5 when it comes out and watch people clapping and having fun in the theater. They have no connection to it. So when they hear about Iraqis being tortured to death or people being shot off the road for fun, they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, they've now bought into evil. We've also got a delusional population. I mean, I found just in daily life, people I run into, if they want to attack you because they're jealous or they're envious or whatever, they will just make things up you've done. So you deserve to be attacked. See, delusion, once the public's taught to accept mass delusions, big lies, well, then they start creating their own little lies in their own daily lives. And then they make bad decisions. They end up in a bad place in their life. But they always just blame other people. I always try to blame myself. I always try to analyze what I've done wrong so I'll do it better next time. And all I've got is my name. You know, all I know how valuable it is that when Alex Jones tells you something, he is going to move heaven and earth to try to get it done. That's why a lot of times I tell people, no, I'm not going to do this or no, I'm not going to do that. Because if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to try to do it as best I can. I mean, that means busting my butt. If I tell a film distributor I'm going to have this film ready on this date, well, we may not sleep the last week to get it done. And those are the things that build strong societies. Now, I'm not claiming I'm some chip off the old block or a great guy either. I'm plenty decadent, plenty slovenly. But compared to the average person, I'm heads and shoulders above them. We're a rotten society, and I think we need to go ahead and come to grips with that. We are a mentally ill, degenerate, backstabbing, knuckle-dragging group of surly, entitled know-it-alls that follow the false left-right paradigm. We warehouse our old people to die and don't take care of them. We abort 50 million of our children because we don't want the responsibility, not knowing we're destroying a wonderful thing. Even when you have children, people still take it as a liability, something that's bad. The media tells you that over and over again. So because you don't put energy into it, it turns out being a bad thing. I run into so many parents, you know, have teenage children, and they say, I've just cut them loose. I'm just not worrying about them. I'm just going to let them get in trouble. I'm just going to let them go to jail. I'm just going to let them. I mean, I love my family so much that I would that's one of the few areas morally that I'd have big questions, because I'd cheat and steal for my family. I have never had to, but I mean, I'll just be honest with you. It comes absolutely first. In fact, it's probably a sin. I think my family, most of the time, I mean, my mental view shifts from day to day, but I mean, my family, I know probably put them even before God, and that's bad. But I am a fleshly, worldly person, and I've transcended almost all the flesh except my family. I'm tied to it. It's who I am. You know, I've said other times that I would, I put fighting the New World Order first, even at the expense and danger of my family. So in a way, I do put God first. I do put doing the right thing first. But doing the right thing tends to be the good thing for your family to begin with. What I mean is, by what I just said, is I go back and forth mentally. They say thinking a thing is the thing. I think about, man, I could just sell everything I own and go live in some third world country, and it'll probably be dangerous and bad too, but at least I won't have my head on the chopping block. But I just can't even begin to move in that direction. And my gut tells me, and my gut's never wrong, my gut tells me, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out of here, get out of the United States. Let all the good old boys and know-it-alls and establishment people have their new world order. Let them drink the fluoride, let them take the shots, let them eat the GMO food till their guts bust. Your family comes first. But my gut, my flesh tells me get out, but God tells me stay in. And, you know, there's duality. There's multivariate, multifaceted thoughts and processes in man. So some would see it as contradictory, saying my family, a lot of times my mind comes before even doing the right thing or God. But then I said, but I have never done the wrong thing in the name of my family. But I know that that is a weak spot I've got. I mean, I'm actually a very violent, barbarous, primitive person. We all have that aspect to us. And, you know, some people would see it as a strength or a strong point. I don't see it as that. I mean, I know with total commitment and certainty, anybody does anything to my family, I'm not going to control myself. But in that is strength, folks. The fact that you're not going to give in anymore, and you're not going to back off, and that you're committed. And they say that, you know, you have the family unit, the nuclear family, and then out that side, you have your neighborhood, and then your city, your county, and you do reap what you sow, and that's why I see everybody as my family. I do. And not in some sappy sense, not in some Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. I see people, I see other people's children as my family, and it's not in some Hillary Clinton village way. where the state comes in and, you know, it's the arbiter and the controller. All I'm saying is, I've noticed a lot of my fellow Americans enjoy seeing somebody else fall down, enjoy seeing rich people fall, enjoy seeing their competitors hurt. And I do not take pleasure in that. I mean, I can enter into that psychological agency in my intellect, but it's mainly only like experiencing the pleasure of enemies being defeated from afar. The only satisfaction I have in seeing bad things happen in the New World Order is that it lets me know they're human, they're not invincible. You know, when I was younger, I didn't worry about growing old. And then when I got a little bit older, I did worry about death and growing old, and a little bit of vanity entered into it. But now, more and more, I realize it's a great thing. The experience of growing old, being humbled by your body falling apart, being humbled and being aware of the fact that you are finite in this body, on this plane of existence, and that it's so short. And then what truly lasts is your deeds and what you do and your name and what you build for others. It's called good old-fashioned hospitality. I love cooking a meal and placing it before friends. I like buying friends dinner. And it's only because I have my head screwed on straight in that respect that I understand ministering and nurturing and nourishing those that I like is the truest human expression of what we are meant to be. And so the enemy tries to take that instinct we have and say, that's right, pay more taxes, help the poor. But they take that money and hurt the poor with it. So you can't just do the right thing in and of saying, well, they say it's a good thing, so I'm going to do it. You have to analyze what you're doing intellectually and then do the right thing. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes research to do the right thing, to know what's happened. But it also takes discernment. The more you commit to the truth, the more you open up to the truth, the more you look at the truth of yourself and the truth of the bad things you've done, the more your mind will then open up to accept greater truths, deeper truths. You ever had a bad thought about something embarrassing that happened to you many years ago, or something embarrassing, something bad you did? Maybe nobody even knows what you did, but you're still embarrassed about it. You have that guilt. That conscience is the basic programming of humanity. A crime against the tribe. You know what wrong is, even if the TV tells you it's not a wrong. And a lot of people flinch from thinking about bad memories, and they run away from it. Whereas I don't flinch from bad memories. I dive into them. I want to re-experience that. I want to understand it. I want to understand why my mind blocks it out. I want to open it up. I want into my mind. I want to see it all. I want to experience it all. And does that not mean that I'm not all over the map? That I don't sink into primitive behavior. You know, we have the hills, we have the valleys, we have the mountains. It doesn't mean I'm sitting up here judging or talking about being some high and mighty intellect. I'm telling you, there's so much more to you. So much more that you can experience. So much more that you can do. You have power. You innately are made in the image of the creator of the universe. And you have been given free will. And free will is not about big plasma screen TVs and Cadillacs. Free will is not about baubles and trinkets of power and signets of rank. And unending competitiveness. Free will is about knowing yourself. And knowing others. And let me be clear, I'm not saying that wanting nice things is bad. That's the first step in being secure, feeling secure, being able to take care of yourself, protect yourself, to have a keep, a nest, a fortress, a home, a stronghold, to have friends, to have your mate, to bring into the world the next generation of humans, to set them on the path of goodness and righteousness. And it's a hard road, especially in these dark days, these latter days. It is appointed for a man to only live once and then to die. It is appointed for a man to live 75 years and then to die. And death is the great mystery. It is the great equalizer. And the New World Order thinks they're going to escape death. They're not. They can roll out some quackery of computer neural interfaces and claim that that is the body and the soul of the king, of the lord, of the elite. But it is not. It is a fraud. And so these great workers of evil will fall. And all that they have built will fall into ruin. It will fall into dust. And all of us will be punished in this life for the sins we've committed. That's the truth about the universe. You don't have to wait to die before you're punished. We will all be punished for the crimes we've committed against humanity, for the crimes we've committed against ourselves. There is justice. And that's why I fear God. Because I know that God only wants good things for us. But there are rules. And we do it to ourselves when we commit these crimes against the basic code, the basic human family. And God only steps out of the way. God only removes his protection from the wicked, from nations, from peoples, from families. And this is a wicked nation. This is a blasphemous, rotten, stinking corpse of a country. There is still a lot of good left in it. But the darkness is growing fast. The rotten flesh of the world is blackening and dripping. Preaching for me. It's just in the final equation. Do you really think you could not care about your neighbor, not care about your community, let corruption run wild, and that you're going to be safe?
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die.
All right, let's go ahead and talk to Matt in the UK, then Aaron, Jerry, Troy, Trey, Andrew, and others. Go ahead, you're on the air, Matt.
Hi, Alex. This is Matt from the good old Yorkshire, England. Thanks for inviting me on the show, by the way. My first question is, I'd like to say that you're my hero, basically. You know, we did the MSBC or Fox News, I think it was, when you were bullhorning them. I thought it was excellent, obviously, what you did there.
When they had me arrested? No, that was some fun.
Yeah, what happened there? Did they charge you or did they release you?
No, they charged me with a non-arrestable misdemeanor. So then I had to send a lawyer to court remotely from Texas, and then they basically dropped the charge.
Right, right. Do you see those two? My wife called them bimbos. They were like alien twins, weren't they? You know, were you right at the front?
Yes, they Well, that's what they do. Those shows are, you know, they have the guys that are cute for girls and the girls that are cute for guys, and they smile at you and blink and wink at you, and then people sit there feeling like the TV's their friend.
Yeah. Right. My other question is, obviously, you mentioned that you saw the W movie. I've just recently seen the W movie. Now, the question I want, obviously, about the movie is the part where they're on the table. And I think it's David Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, mentioning obviously that their intelligence was wrong because there was no weapons of mass destruction or biological or chemical weapons. Do you believe that the MI5, MI6 killed him?
Dr. David Kelly?
Yep.
Well, I mean, they absolutely killed him, and what, 80-some percent of Brits believe they killed him. He was, they say he slit his wrist and died, but there was no blood at the scene in the park. And the local police that walked up saw five men in black uniforms run away from the body. I mean, a cop would know in 10 seconds. You walk up, there's a dead body with the wrist slit with no blood there. So he was either brought there and bled to death somewhere else, or he was injected with something, and then they slit his wrist to make it look like that, and then later they found that's what had happened, because the way his wrists were slit, he wouldn't have bled to death. And then he had three undigested pills in his stomach.
Right.
So, I mean, they killed him in front of everybody. I mean, you know, the killers ran off from him.
Right. Another thing is, obviously, you mentioned fellow Yorkshireman Paul Watson about this UK cops having these scanning finger machines. I watched one of your older clips, by the way. You know, when you went into that office in Texas, I think it was for a
driving. Yeah, 1997, and I said they're going to thumb scan you on the street in police cars and to school lunches, because I read the federal documents. It's going to be a world ID card.
Yep, yeah. Did they arrest you? Did they charge you?
No, again, because civil matters, a lot of times they arrest demonstrators and then drop the charges. Because if they hold the charges, they end up losing the case and then get sued for false imprisonment.
Right. Because, like I say, I mean, the UK is definitely getting to a police state as now.
There's no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're having these scanning fingerprint machines, you know, obviously on the streets, and it is getting quite bad. Obviously, where I am in Yorkshire, it's they are having a zero tolerance policy.
It's about letting you know you're a slave, and they run around with mobile body scanning trucks and face scanners and telescreens that shout orders at you on the streets. We now have those in the U.S. I have some news about that today. We'll play some of that coming up the next hour. Thank you for the call, Matt in the U.K., Aaron, Jerry, Troy, Trey, Andrew. Stay with us. We'll be right back in 70 seconds.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change, Final Cut. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The true story of the Bilderberg Group. The late, great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today.
We are back live. Kevin Booth's coming up. We have another special guest joining us while he's on, getting into the whole drug war, some of the propositions around the country to try to decriminalize the drugs the government ships in to put us in prison. Yeah, it's a setup. It's a frame-up. By the way, we know what we're talking about here. Within 20 minutes of that report last week of the girl in Texas, I guess it was in Lubbock, or was it Midland, I forget, carving the B on her own face, and it was backwards, putting that makeup on her eye. Friday morning, 11 a.m., we come on air, and we tell you that it's fake. And we tell you she carved it backwards in her own face, and that she's a mental patient. And then it came out 2 days later that she had indeed staged it. Now, we're not stupid. The B was backwards. It was makeup on her eye. She refused medical attention because she didn't want anybody looking at it. And, of course, the cops knew that in 5 minutes she was a liar. And the mindless public debated whether or not it was true. And I heard John McCain supporters, mindlessly, because they were against Obama, going with the trap and saying, oh, yes, we think it's true. How dare anyone say it's fake? Just like I heard him 2 weeks ago saying, oh, Senator Ted Stevens is innocent. And he was found guilty on all seven counts. Same thing. Democrats will defend corrupt Democrats no matter what they do. We know how the world works. We're not dumb. A backwards B, she did it in a mirror. Only an idiot like that would think they could get away with something like that. You know, the guy off camera at the ATM did this to her. We understand false flags. Staged terror events. That's what that was. It was a false flag. Now, cops, you're not stupid. You knew she was a big fat liar. And you know something else? If you looked for 5 minutes at 9/11, you'd understand. Just like LAPD detectives I've hung out with. They all sit around laughing, going, of course we knew it was inside job day one. Only a moron, a self-deluded idiot, would not know that Oklahoma City, the first World Trade Center attack, and the second World Trade Center attack were inside jobs. I am not going to self-delude. I'm not going to sit here and lie to myself. It took 15 seconds to read that article and look at her face and say, that's staged. And we said on air, it's staged, watch. All those church burnings, turned out those were staged. Remember all those black churches getting burned down? Staged by groups wanting to pass anti-free speech laws. 9 times out of 10 or more. I mean, it's more than 9 out of 10. Probably like 99 out of 100. People put swastikas on their dorm rooms. Blacks, put the N-word on their dorm rooms. It's always them. False flag, inside job, get it straight. You know, people are asking me now, they're saying, how did you know that the bailout was going to be for bonuses for the CEOs and for the executives and for the shareholders? Because it was in the bill. I mean, how did you know? Because they said they'd do this decades ago, and they do it in third world countries all the time. Because I know what I'm talking about. And I'm done. We don't have time to argue or play games anymore. We got psychos that put poison in the water that carried out 9/11 running this country. You think it's fun to go up against these people? You think I like it? I learned about government-sponsored terrorism in 1995. And I've been screaming bloody murder about it ever since. Look at how they've used the terror attack to take your liberties and freedoms. To pass all these laws on banking and your life and your children, non-terror related. Look at how they lie about everything and all the other points, and then tell me they're not crooks. Tell me they're not bad. Tell me this government isn't reprobate and bankrupt 7 ways to Sunday, up one side and down the other, from pillar to post, from pier to beam, the length, breadth, depth. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with me.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. I've told you for a long time it's important to be self-sufficient. And today, that's more important than ever. We need to be independent, and food and water is the key. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. You'll never have to go to the Superdome and beg for FEMA to take care of your family in any emergency if you simply prepare. Our elected representatives wanted a good old boy bailout for the special interest, so they ignored your screams not to do it. They turned off the telephones and email. They voted to print $850 billion at least out of thin air. This money now owns the American and European banks. The exploding inflation that is now guaranteed will slash your life savings to nothing and blast the cost of necessities, particularly food, beyond many Americans' reach. In pre-Nazi Germany superinflation, the cost of a loaf of bread doubled every 2 days until it reached over 4 billion marks. Food prices are skyrocketing so fast, there seems as if there may be no end in sight. The private banks merging with our government are refusing to loan grocery stores enough money to restock their shelves. The stores have less food, but jack up prices to stay in business. Whatever happens in America, we need to be prepared and be ready. Everything is zeroing in on food. One-third of Americans have to choose between buying food and paying for other necessities. My friends, whatever it takes, get prepared, get self-sufficient, get food. And for everybody out there listening, it's very important for you to understand that by having a supply of storable food, the government, the New World Order, has a lot less control over you. And so it's a mindset of self-sufficiency and preparedness. No one is going to take care of your family in the final equation but you. You know eFoodsDirect.com is still able to ship storable food that's safe from E. coli, salmonella, genetic alteration, or Chinese imports. And they do it at almost half the cost of last year's grocery prices. Call 1-800-409-5633 or on the web, go to eFoodsDirect.com. Visit eFoodsDirect.com and look over the fine list of high-quality, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods they have to offer. Watch the free videos, look at their online catalog, or give them a call at 1-800-409-5633. Again, 800-409-5633, or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Take action today. The first step is getting storable food.
For the next 52 minutes, we're joined by documentary filmmaker, musician, good friend of mine, Kevin Booth, also Bill Hicks's producer. His program, of course, American Drug War, has aired, I don't know how many times, 40 times or something, last time I heard, on Showtime. It's getting ready to air again. Very, very popular, created a huge buzz. And we happen to have the DVD available at Infowars.com, 2-hour film and 3 hours of extras for $19.95, and you fund the filmmaking work of Kevin Booth. But he's here because we got the election coming up, and there's different initiatives around the country to try to decriminalize some of the drugs that the government uses to get involved in our lives that they tend to ship in as well. And we also have an expert joining us later in the interview, friends with Kevin. We've got the founder and executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, a New York City-based nonprofit organization working to end the war on drugs. He's considered one of the most outspoken advocates of drug legalization. Kevin, I appreciate you sub-setting him up for the show today. When is he scheduled to join us on the transmission?
As soon as he gets, he's on an Amtrak heading for his office right now, so as soon as he can get off of the train. So it'll be in the end of the hour.
Did you give him the studio backline?
Yes.
Okay, good. Tell us, well, I mean, number one, let's get into some of the initiatives that are going on right now.
Well, this is Proposition 5 here in California, and it's basically just, it's put it this way, the drugs are, the prisons, the massive prison guard unions, which I don't even cover in my film, which are very powerful out here, are working hard to stop this thing, because what they try to do, which they've been very successful with, and my film covers, is they make one single category out of nonviolent drug offenders and rapists and murderers, and they try to make it so if you get caught growing a pot plant that you're going to go and sit in jail with some guy who murdered and raped everybody.
Well, that's because, 80-something percent of drug users only smoke marijuana, illegal drug users, and it's modern slavery. Governments have always wanted slavery. You got the private banks that launder the money that own the private prisons, and then that devalues the base of wages that people are paid. We're competing against the millions of people working in the growing prison industries, and so they don't want it to go away. They want the easy-to-control little weed heads there in their slave pit.
Yeah, no, and it's a way to keep the numbers up. It's all a numbers game. So they you know, if they take all the pot smokers out of this equation, they're going to lose a ton of business. And so they have to flush all these things together. But it's not even just like who they arrest. It also a lot of it has to do with how many years you get. The sentencing guidelines are big on it too. Whether you get 6 months or 6 years, also has a lot to do with how much profit the prison and the guards are going to make.
Yeah, it was pretty shameful a few months ago when I had Ted Nugent on. He was like, throw all the potheads in prison. They're lazy.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's
a good idea.
That's really good. Good system. I mean, what a corrupt, stinking government. They're pushing Ritalin, Prozac, hundreds of other deadly drugs on the kids in school. Half the public's completely drunk on Prozac. But meanwhile, let's put everybody in jail who smokes marijuana.
No, it's absolutely insane. And giving them longer sentences in some cases. I mean, people get longer sentences for growing pot in some cases than rape or murder.
Well, every week I read about a SWAT team gunning people down in their house who had pot plants. I mean, what's the greater threat, some weed heads or men stomping around knocking down doors at 4 a.m.?
Yeah, no, it's terrible. So, I mean, Prop 5 is, I'll have Ethan on in a little while to explain the specifics of it. My understanding is that it's trying to shift from incarceration over to rehabilitation, supposed to save the taxpayers of California approximately $2.5 billion per year.
Yeah, but then the undercover cops can't drive around in brand-new Chargers and, Porsches and act cool. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and they have to get down. You know, they remember here in L.A., they had that, I forgot what they called it, that battering ram thing that they put on the front of this tank.
I mean, these are guys that are too scared to go join the military. They like picking on potheads. I mean, they got to act tough, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but it's just a way to get those numbers up, keep those prisons full. It's funny. I even gotten some. I got my first angry email. You know, in my film, I talk about the city of Taft because that's where Tommy Chong was at the prison there. I got my first email from a guy in Taft, you know, saying like Taft still has oil, and you know we're not relying on the prison system, and we're a great town. You know, I got all like defensive for his town.
Well, that's like Tulia, where the only business was the prison. They literally, like the old days, when just rounded the blacks up and threw them in the slave pit. Well, that's the problem, Kevin. I mean, we've got the vast majority of the public in every poll saying decriminalize marijuana at least, and all these states are trying to decriminalize it, but the feds rove around attacking people. I mean, I don't see how they're going to get away with this drug war forever, so now they're trying to tie marijuana in with terrorism.
Yeah, that was like one of the things that Bush did, you know, right around the creation of the Patriot Act and coming out with that campaign that's in my film, the Nick and Norm campaign, where if you buy marijuana, you support terrorism. And the guy goes, "Is it true?" And he goes, "Because it is true."
It's like the guys at the dinner table going, "Oh, just because I smoke a little weed." I mean, it is
what's funny about it is that I actually got the copy of the film because I think the guy that plays Nick is actually a struggling actor out here in L.A. And some guy from a editing studio had his actor reel, and we were like looking at this actor's acting reel, and he was like Nick from Nick and Norm. I like fell over dying laughing.
Oh, whatever.
So
let's just have a moment of silence here. Right now.
Okay.
Kevin, so much is going on. Tell the story about how you're flying around the country on the speaker circuit, all these universities, institutions, people want to hear from you with your award-winning film, and how they're trying to stop you from coming to the universities.
Well, first of all, I want to say the biggest conspiracy right now are the people making money off bottled water. If you travel as much as I do, the biggest scam going at the airport right now is give us your bottle of water on this side of this thing, and then you cross through this thing, and then you go, here, you can buy another bottle of water from us, and then they throw all these bottles of water in this giant thing, and they probably move them around back and reconsolidate them and sell them to you. I swear, I was like, what are you going to do with all that water? I guess you should give it to prisoners or something, or give it to what do you do? What do you guys do with all your bottled water?
But I mean, tell the story about...
So I was going to a university in Florida. Where was this? Fort Myers. And somebody there on the faculty, some woman on the faculty started passing around an email to everybody telling them that she was very upset that they were bringing me in as a speaker and that the young students didn't need to be exposed to something this controversial right before an election.
And then tell them the ultimate piece of evidence of your evil.
She said, I discovered that Mr. Booth had worked on Ninja Bachelor Party.
which is non-sexual. I mean, it's you and Bill Hicks acting stupid, you know, acting like you're going to ninja school.
Ninja Bachelor parties is like, that's my own Bill Ayers moment, right?
Not once, not twice, well, twice.
Well, please, twice. Well, twice, I mean it. Look at my resume, twice. It's
I was drinking the Robitussin.
Oh, Dr. Death, that's me. Honey, I'm disappointed in you.
We always end up talking about this, don't we? Here, I'll tell you a funny story. So I go to these lecture rooms. I'm in upstate New York about a week ago, freezing cold, Oswego. So many of the kids are apathetic. That's the scary thing, is how apathetic so many kids are.
Well, they're TV heads.
So I do this one classroom. It's a really cool teacher. He has me to a second classroom, big lecture hall. I do this little 15-minute set that's like a multimedia presentation with a monologue and then the Q&A. You get to the section where I'm like, you know, how many kids smoke pot? You know, or half the room, you know, raises their hands. You know, how many people are stoned right now? Everybody's laughing and joking. So in the corner of my eye, there's this one other guy, young black guy dressed in a pinstripe suit. Doesn't really look like he fits. So I get up and leave, and he's the next speaker. He comes up on after me. It turns out he was a narcotics officer. And so the kids come to my show later, and they thought that I had set him up because I'm like the cool guy that gets up there and like, how many people in the audience do drugs? Everybody raise your hands. Woo! All right, up next, Officer Johnson.
Yeah, and those guys are totally sold into their system. It's their career, so they've got to defend it. And then they'll argue, well, look at all these unsavory types that are involved with drugs. Yeah, because you make it illegal. Now you've just given the criminal element something to make a lot of money off of. But they've got a problem. There are these bigger and bigger organizations forming, filled with former narcotics officers and others, that go in public saying it's all complete bull.
Yeah, LEAP. Yeah, that's what I tell everybody always. Google LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. That's a really hard one to argue. And just one other thing. Look, almost 85% of all kids smoke pot, whether they're good or bad or rebellious or whether they tell you they are or aren't. Kids are most likely, your children are most likely going to try smoking pot. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question you got to ask yourself. When they're going to go, do you want them to buy that pot from like some regulated, safe source? Or do you want them to get it from a guy that sells crystal meth and crack cocaine?
Well, that goes back to alcohol poisoning just went way up. Some estimates 3 times, most estimates 5 times. Alcoholism tripled during Prohibition, and it was bad alcohol. And it's the same thing. I mean, I smoke some pot. I never really liked it because, you know, I get, quote, paranoid when I smoke it. I'm not going to make a joke about Sunday. But anyways, the whole point here is clearly marijuana is far less bad for you than alcohol. And Kevin, you have those statistics. Let's go over some of the government's own statistics about what prescription drugs, alcohol. I mean, these are killing 400,000-500,000 a year, combine the two numbers. But one's 200,000, another's about 300,000. It changes year to year, but it's sometimes higher, sometimes lower. And then marijuana, they can't find deaths from it. I mean, you just can't find the deaths from it. So it's an excuse to get in our lives. It's an excuse. They know the kids are using it. That's why it's illegal.
More than 700
Let me talk to Booth.
Have been found in our drinking
water. Skip the break.
And did you know that you have
still going, right?
To these-
yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
John, I want to talk to Booth.
Go ahead.
We're on the internet right now, but it's not the full audience. But I want to be specific. You know, I've heard of this Ethan Nadelman's way you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Well, this is really interesting. I should have him on just as a guest separately sometime.
Yeah, no. I wanted to bring him on earlier. I tried. But no, he'll come on as a guest separately for sure.
What is the system going to do when like 98% of the public has smoked marijuana at one time or not in their life, but they're still putting everybody in jail for it?
I don't know.
I mean, this is just ridiculous.
I think they're getting ready to have this 20 million man march somewhere or something like that that's going to mark the 20 millionth marijuana arrest or something taking place in March.
Well, my mom remembers going to the University of Texas back in the mid-60s. If they caught you with marijuana, it was like 50 years in prison.
I mean, I just got back from Tulsa, Oklahoma, where some guy met his best friend, got 6 years for like a half a bag.
Meanwhile, it's really in the histories that they grew tons of not just hemp for rope and sails and cloth, but they grew the type of marijuana that actually has THC in it. All over the colonies, they exported all over the world, and that for stomach aches, all the same things it's medically used for today, it had all, that was one of the apothecaries. you know, they gave to the barbers or the doctors, but barbers were like, for those watching, kind of like mainline, you know, general, kind of like a nurse that you'd go to. Then they had doctors that were, you know, few and far between. But that was one of their favorite remedies was marijuana. And you can go read you know, online, they've got copies of the old manuals where it talks about, you know, have them smoke the bud, you know, the sexual organ of the plant that has the better effect. Smoke it. And then you can read where, even when he was president, you see George Washington's doctors for toothaches saying, smoke this in your pipe, you know, inhale it. That's it. George Washington, jail time over. Arrest him.
It's the one, I mean, listen, you know, you basically, I guess you could say God left us with three categories. You've got cocaine, and then you've got the poppy opiates, and then you got the THC drugs. Now, we could get the more powerful ones that can kill you, that can shut down your breathing, that could stop your heart. Those things are legal. You can get those through a prescription, have been forever. You get dental surgery, they give you liquid cocaine, you get your tonsils out, liquid cocaine, pharmaceutical grade. Opiate derivatives, that's everything from Vicodin to Tylenol 3 to all the way to OxyContin. All of that's the whole opium-based category. And then you move into the cannabis thing, and they're like, oh, we got this Marinol pill, or it's like taking one would be like, you know, it's nothing.
Well, remember Rush Limbaugh over and over again said he would defend those cocaine laws against blacks, where if it was crack cocaine, you get 20 years, but if it was a lawyer with powdered cocaine, you get a month or whatever, or probation. Right. And Limbaugh still defends that, even though he was caught taking 100-plus OxyContins a day.
And what's even more ridiculous about that law is that powdered cocaine is four times stronger than crack, as far as, like, how much cocaine in it. Crack is actually, like, poor man's coke. You know, it's like it's actually kind of like a ripoff, really. They mix it with baking soda, and it actually has very little cocaine in it. I know it's addictive, but it's just... You know, but that's what makes it classic. It's actually weaker.
Well, the CIA had the design, you know, the recipe on that, and they put it out. They put it out on the street. So just problem,
yeah,
reaction,
a lot of
solution.
People say that the CIA got the recipe though from just hanging around in the streets of Bogota and stuff, where they have.
Have you heard of this thing where they freebase marijuana? It like heats. What's that called? A vaporizer?
Yeah, that's not freebasing.
Well, I mean, I know it's not freebasing cocaine, but I'm saying it's similar. Well,
yeah, but that's vaporizing a plant.
We're going back to the full audience. I understand that. Here we go. Kevin Booth, the maker of American Drug War, available at Infowars.com, discounted in $19.95. I hope you'll get it and show it to your friends, family, and neighbors. This will even wake up the most stubborn knotheads out there that still... I hear him calling talk radio all the time. Marijuana, we gotta put him in jail. But give me more whiskey. Let's get into the numbers, and they vary year to year, but it's always massive, of what prescription drugs and alcohol kill and cigarettes kill versus the devilish Mary Jane.
Well, the numbers in my film are that tobacco kills about 450,000 a year, 500,000 a year. Alcohol, about 150,000. That's just from health-related issues. A little under 100,000 from probably accidental.
Yeah, more than that.
Pharmaceutical drugs, legal pharmaceutical drugs, roughly 100,000 per year.
By the way, those are all very conservative numbers from probably a decade ago. I know you did research, but it's far worse.
It has to be conservative.
Prescription's more like 300,000, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's worse. But from where I'm coming from, I'm conservative on purpose. So
no, I agree. I mean, I report in Endgame that governments only killed 200 million people last century. It's more like 300 million, and I've been called out for that. But we're being conservative here, you know.
Well, it's also, too, how we always say that the prison population is 2 million, and it seems like we've been saying that for some time.
Yeah, it's really 4 million behind bars, about 3 million on probation.
Yeah, that sounds more like it. Then marijuana, basically, it is physically impossible for marijuana to shut down your heart or to stop your respiration. If if somebody could physically, you couldn't smoke enough to OD. Suppose, like, you melted it down into some substance and you drank it down, like cough syrup, 10 pounds of marijuana. The worst that would happen is you would fall asleep. You'd probably wake up and maybe you, like, trip and crack your head on the refrigerator while you're trying to, like...
The worst you're going to do is raid 7-Eleven for Bluebell Dutch chocolate.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
It's like this. I go to Trader Joe's here. They've got this cherry chocolate. Forget about it. I'm hooked.
Hey, what's this vaporizer way they're smoking weed now?
That just heats it up. It's a way of, so it's not so much smoke, but vapor, and it's better for your lungs. It just puts it in this superheated chamber, and then a lot of these higher-end vaporizers, what it does is it shoots the vapor into a plastic bag, and then you inhale the vapor from the plastic bag. I actually tried that in Amsterdam, and it's just very, very cool because, really, smoking anything is not good for you.
Right? Yeah, it's hot. There's the tars.
Right.
So, parches, I mean, your
why,
throat.
Like, people use water pipes and all those type of things. It's all about trying to cool the smoke and not having this hot burning thing.
The ultra weed heads now supposedly have those big vaporizers, but in a room, like a chamber.
Yeah. I mean, you can buy all kinds of stuff, and it's big business, big business. I'll tell you what's big business right now is these this fake urine, synthetic urine. And there's things called the Wizinator. Have you ever seen a Wizinator?
And that's to get around the drug test, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to explain what it is over the radio here, but people can Google Wizinator.
Well, explain what the Wizinator is. We're just trying to find out here.
You want me to explain it?
Well, I mean, is it horrible? What?
Well, no. It's like you put it in your underwear. It's like a fake penis.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I didn't know what you were talking about. I just knew that there were fake businesses of fake synthetic urine. I thought
it was
that.
Well, no, this is like, so when people go to have their drugs.
No, I understand. Then they're being watched doing it for their job. And then they, okay, now I understand. Okay, I didn't know what that was. I'm sorry I brought that up, folks. It's so ridiculous, man. Oh, my God.
You can either order the McCain or the Obama model.
Stop it, Booth. Stop it. He's a comedian. He's out of control. Hey, how's Joe Rogan doing?
I haven't seen him. You know, I haven't talked to him lately.
I haven't called him lately either.
Yeah. I know he's touring around. I think he was in Canada recently. So I think he's just doing a lot of dates on the road. Doing a lot of dates. So what else is going on? Did I ever tell you that I got to drive a fully electric car? That it was the car from the movie Who Killed the Electric Car? And I just want to tell all your listeners that it was amazing. You couldn't even, it was a Toyota RAV4. This thing had acceleration. You couldn't even tell the difference between, I thought it would be like driving a golf cart or something. No, it was like driving a completely normal car. About a range of 90 miles.
But you can't have that. Al-Qaeda is behind all the alternative energy.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, the battery-powered cars will work. Maybe not for long range, but close range.
American Drug War, ladies and gentlemen. It's the film, again, available at InfoWars.com. You know, I get on the phone with Kevin doing radio, and it's like I'm on the phone just screwing around here. But that's interesting radio. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, they'll put you in jail for marijuana, but they put deadly sodium fluoride in your water. And ice cream, children's ice cream mandrake. Oh, my gosh. We'll be right back. Got a surprise guest, Ethan Nadelman, joining us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run.
It's Kevin Booth.
Jones and the GCN.
Let's keep talking to old Kevy. No, Kev, I mean, the truth is they are fighting tooth and nail to try to keep the drug war in place, and we should explain. They consciously know they're shipping the drugs in. They consciously know it's to get everybody in the system. And that just lets you know what even bigger crooks these narcotics officers are. I mean, they really are disgusting.
Have you seen those blimp things that they fly over the Mexican border?
Yep, they've got those over major cities now, too.
Yeah, this guy, have you heard of this guy, Yoakum? He was a narcotics officer that was involved with those blimps. You heard of him?
Yeah, blimps. The whole war on drugs, for those that don't know, is about cutting out their competition at the border and sending troops in to kill growers of coca and other things in Colombia. And then domestically, it's about putting you in jail. It's a business. They're cold-blooded. They think it's real funny. I've even heard G. Gordon Liddy laughing on radio going, we're spraying your weed with poison. Go ahead and smoke it. You're going to get cancer. It's all real funny.
But really, that's what anybody who thinks this is either a conspiracy theory or that thinks drugs are like, but drugs are bad. You know, this is not funny to joke about. You just need to keep telling. You got to know, though, that the people that are doing this are getting rich off of it, and that's what's propelling it all. You know, that's That's,
well, it's like from Chicago to Dallas, where the cops throw fake chalk in your car and just take it because they want it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've read Seattle Post-Intelligencer articles where the majority of bars are now owned by cops. They go sell drugs to themselves in the bathroom, then they seize your bar, and then it's so corrupt, the cops then hand the bars to their buddies.
But, Alex, we got a brand new Humvee out of it.
Whatever, man. I just can't believe how corrupt this country is. It really is a dirtbag nation. I mean, I love the country itself and our history, but we really are just this delusional, evil. I mean, what coming up with this crap?
When did everybody get so greedy? What meeting did I miss when everybody got so greedy that they just didn't care anymore about the outcome of anything?
Well, that's the thing. And so now the cops go along with this, and the bankers are taking their pension funds right now. They're nationalizing pension funds in Argentina. They're getting ready to do it here. The pension funds are invested in the stock markets. They're going to call it, oh, we're nationalizing them to keep them safe. We're raiding them to keep them safe. Yeah, the evil people always think they're in a bubble and that they're only screwing people and that they're not going to get screwed.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, how do you think George Bush is going to spend the next 4 years of his life?
He never ran anything.
I mean, that
movie is all about how he's this idiot, savant, bumbling idiot. Oh, poor thing. They really thought WMDs were in Iraq. I think it's disgusting.
I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, he'll still do what he always does. Gay porn star visits every day, drugs, partying. He likes it. Here we go.
Any think any steam is going to come out of the Big Lebowski deal?
Here we go. Let's go back live. Kevin, during the break, was bringing up something to me that I haven't really talked about yet. What do you think the pardons will be like this time? You know, Clinton murderers, drug dealers, cocaine smugglers, white-collar criminals, Israeli spies. I wonder who George Bush is going to pardon this time, Kevin.
I don't know. John Walters?
You were bringing up Bugliosi, you know, calling for his indictment for murder. But if you believe the W film, Bush didn't know. He's a nice person.
Yeah, well, either way. You got to ask yourself, though, just the mentality behind this. We're talking about greed of how much, you know, I wouldn't trade places with any of these people for $1 trillion. You know? I mean, what did they get out of doing this? What are they getting out of it? I know you could say power and money, but it's like what power? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, it's a competitiveness, and they're all pushing for global domination. And somehow they convinced the public that didn't exist and that government was loving and didn't have any avarice or any, you know, bad aims. I mean, have you been watching the news where they're just announcing world government to be run by the private banks and doesn't matter, they're the ones that engineered it and it's all over the news? Even the New York Times reports they're just keeping the money for the shareholders and $500 million bonuses for CEOs.
But I mean, you have to ask, though, that what kind of a world are they going to have for themselves if they turn this entire planet into a giant toilet?
Well, they believe that actually secures their power. They want to hurt people. They want to make us all poor. Because that makes us easier to manage. They don't want upright, strong, good people with good morals. They want just a bunch of, you know, globalist controllers with a bunch of evil, backstabbing scum down on the bottom all fighting with each other over diminishing resources.
Yeah, I can see that. But then how are they going to spend their lives? I mean, how are they?
They like hurting people. They like taking things away. They love brain damaging children with mercury and fluoride.
But then what world are their children going to live in?
Well, they're going to live in cloistered, defended, areas. I mean, I'm telling you what they say. I'm telling you that's it's evil, Kevin. You can't judge the world according to your own self who isn't evil.
Do you really think, like, George Bush is going to, like, sit out the rest of his life and Crawford, or is that just a front?
No, he's got a pleasure palace in Dubai. He's going over there.
He's going to Dubai.
Yeah, so is Cheney, where they can, you know. Well, Cheney likes girls, he likes boys, but, I mean, you know, well, I'm serious. I mean, you know, there it's where Michael Jackson went. It's where you can do what you want, you know.
Yeah. So what do you think about Palin? Do you think she's for real, or do you think they just picked her knowing that she was going to make everybody just so I mean...
No, no. She's meant to make McCain lose. That's why they ran a guy who's a cancer patient.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Obama's the savior, pal. Look, I like Rivera, but I'm going to get him on Monday. What really happened? I heard him yesterday on Genesis, driving around in the car on 90.1, and saying, oh, look at Wall Street. They're all behind McCain. Wall Street's given three times the money to Obama than McCain. And I'm not picking somebody here. They're both bad. But Obama is meant to win, Kevin.
Oh, I know. I know.
But, I mean, you know, our own people are drinking the Kool-Aid on this Obama guy.
But I'm just saying, though, that do you think they created Sarah Palin, or do you think they just picked her because knowing how it was really going to go over?
Well, that's how they pick you. Is you've already been compromised, you've already gone through the system, they already know your modus operandi, they already know your type, and then they select you. So the answer is both, Kevin, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, things like me, just like seeing her shooting animals out of planes is like my final, I guess that's offensive to me is, you know.
Oh, what's wrong with shooting animals out of planes? Sounds fun.
That's what I'm saying, though. Do you think like she's really like that, or do you think that's just part of this whole act that they've portrayed to make you hate this person?
No, there's nothing to do in Alaska but shoot caribou out of helicopters.
Right, so you really think that's really her?
Oh, yeah, she's got the husband that's all into it.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I know what they say. I just wonder how...
No, Kevin, I actually... If I close the door on a gecko, well, you've lived in Texas, you know, the geckos are running in and out of your house. I mean, you know, constantly finding them, little cute little pink things. And I really like them. I watch them eat bugs up with the light at night. And, you know, I'll close the door and cut one in half, and I pick up its little bloody body and dig a little hole and bury it, put a little cross there, you know. I mean, I don't like, as I've gotten older and more maternal, I guess, I don't like things. But... At the same time, people that say, don't hunt, it's evil, but then they go get a hamburger when the cow was tortured to death.
No, I know, but there's a difference.
But, I mean, I understand you're saying the image of her.
Shooting a wolf for fun. I mean, that's different than slaughtering cows.
Oh, I didn't know she was shooting wolves.
Yeah, she's shooting wolves.
And you have wolves, so you don't like them.
You could just, yeah, I mean, that becomes like a personal issue for me. I just wanted to see what your opinion is, if that's like for real.
See, that's, I haven't paid much attention. No, I didn't know she was running around shooting wolves.
Yeah. There's all kinds of petitions about that. Anyway, I was looking for that hanging Sarah Palin doll. It's in somewhere down in my neighborhood over here. I was driving around yesterday. You know,
they made them take it down and threaten to arrest them.
Ah, gosh. That's funny.
Yeah. Hey, North Hollywood to install talking cameras.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it's going to shout orders just like 1984 at you. These are going in everywhere.
Maybe we should go film the cameras.
Well, no, the people have tried that, and the cops show up and say, you're not allowed to do that, boy. You ain't got no freedom. I mean, how do they get that in their head that they can shove cameras down our throats and put them in rest stop bathrooms, but we're not supposed to film them?
These camera things, yeah, there's so many of those camera things out here that are even built to trick you, you know, with the leash, you know, with not dog leash things. That's coming, actually, where they're going to have cameras in parks where they will...
They already have that in Florida and in areas of England. Hey, yeah. Have you heard on CNN now they're going to have their correspondents as holograms?
No.
CNN beams Star Wars technology for election night. This is the New York Observer. James Cameron, you know, is pioneering all that.
Oh, that's cool. But where?
Wolf Blitzer Show and others, they're going to have the reporter shot from three directions by cameras, and they'll be standing there as a hologram while he interviews them.
Wow. I mean, where do you go to see this?
CNN.
Okay, so they're just going to show them doing this. Okay.
Yeah, how will it work? CNN will be shooting with 44 cameras at each location simultaneously. 20 computers at the site combined with New York's office hardware will process and project an image into the studio. The subject will see Mr. Blitzer and other CNNers on TVs at the location so they can communicate with them properly. And they say it's just going to be like Princess Leia, but full size.
Too bad they couldn't have like a giant Obama like standing on top of the Empire State Building. Like addressing the world.
Well, that's what they're doing over Dallas and other places with all these big flying saucers. If you look at the phenomenon, most of those are high-powered holograms, which the Pentagon even admitted in the 80s they were developing to fool people. Look, I guarantee you, they're going to have Jesus pop up and tell everybody to take the microchip, and they're going to do it. It'll be like in Monty Python, a big, take the chip!
You know, what did you think about Religulous?
I didn't see Religulous.
You didn't see it? You should go see it.
Hey, have you heard Bin Laden on the eve of this election, like every other election, is going to pop up with a new video for us? And the government, of course, can announce that beforehand for us to get the media all hyped. I mean, how staged does this have to get?
I know. I was actually, I've got a friend of mine, Tishon, who's a writer at Saturday Night Live, and I kept telling him, I was like, you guys got to do like a Bin Laden press release skit. You know, it would be perfect. You know, but have it where they're in a cave and it looks just like the White House brief. Pressing room with an official Al-Qaeda flag, an official like Al-Qaeda logo behind them and everything like that, and then you could have the McCain character like dressed up in tribal thing, like I don't know. But no, that's classic, of course.
Well, I mean, when the Intel Center that uploads these keeps uploading the video with their logo in the same video layer as Al-Qaeda's logo. They really think we're stupid, Kevin. I tell you. You know, we laugh about it, but the big thing is they're getting ready for bioweapons releases. And if people don't think people running our government won't kill 30, 40 million of us, you got nothing coming.
But let me ask you this. I mean, do you think it's a bad thing that so many young kids have gotten enthusiastic about Obama?
Yeah, it's bad because, see, they're taking all the discontent and making people think it's different because the guy's different colored skin. And, just watch. Just watch what happens with Obama.
What are you saying is going to happen?
I mean, he's all for the New World Order banking system taking over. He's all for youth brigades. It's going to be bad. Get ready. It's going to be real bad. But the American people have never seen a scam they didn't love, so, you know. I mean, Kevin, they're openly taking all the bailout money and giving it to none of the in trouble institutions and just hoarding it all and giving it to themselves as bonuses. And the New York Times even reports, I've got the quotes right here. New York Times came out yesterday. I'm not talking about legal insider trading by corporate officers that financial press follows. I'm talking about the ministers and executives, and it just goes on into all of it. And it's got the New York Times here with the quotes. It's got them recording the Goldman Sachs executives just bragging about how it's a great opportunity for them to consolidate and buy up more banks and give themselves record bonuses.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
I mean, just right out in the open, they said, we've got to have this or there'll be a depression in 2 days. And then they didn't pass it, so they plunged the market, and then they threatened martial law to the Congress. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And then they said, you know what, we're just keeping all the money.
So what do you think is going to happen with all this? I mean,
what happens when there's criminals running the government and nothing can stop them? The sky's the limit, pal.
Well, we've been in that mode for quite some time.
Yeah, but I mean, now they are just doing anything and everything. It is just total corruption.
But how do you see this thing? Do you think this thing is just a slow ramping up of chaos?
Yes. Ooh. Incremental chaos, yes. I like that term. Good answer. I'll be watching you. Sam Kennison line. Kevin, I can't get no respect. You know that. Oh, my God.
No respect. No respect. I can't think of any Rodney Dangerfield jokes. Dang it. I used to be able to fire off Dangerfield.
It's now official. Russell Crowe's talked about the movie, the Bill Hicks movie.
Yeah.
But we won't get into that.
We'll get into that. I'm sworn to secrecy.
We're not going to get into that. No, I mean, I'm here reading all this stuff, Kevin. It's just unbelievable. And so now they're saying, okay, maybe we'll take $50 million of the multi-trillion. It's not $100 billion. And maybe we'll give $50 billion to banks that actually have mortgage trouble.
Yeah, I just, like, how are you going to choose who to help or how to help? You know, that's a really odd problem.
Here's the J.P. Morgan CEO, as recorded by the New York Times in a banking teleconference. And they're all over the news saying this, but he says, What we do think is it will help us is perhaps a little bit more active on the acquisition side or optimistic side for some banks who are still struggling. That means buying up banks. And I would still assume that we are done on the acquisition side just because of the Washington Mutual or Bear Stearns mergers. I think there are going to be some great opportunities for us to grow in this environment, and I think we have an opportunity to use the $25 billion in that way, and obviously depending on whether recession turns into depression or what happens in the future, you know, we will have that as a backstop. And then he goes on to say they're not going to give any of it to people in loans. We got to do this to get credit going, and they're literally just giving themselves bonuses. Goldman Sachs England, just that division, is giving $14 billion in bonuses to their executives. Out of the money directly that England gave. And then in the U.S., they just say, we're keeping the money, but all that secret. Read the bill Congress passed. You're not allowed to look at it. I mean, and then meanwhile, they got cops raiding our houses looking for marijuana when the government ships in all the real drugs. I mean, I'm tired of it, man. You have no legitimacy. Get out of my face.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think, though, that if it comes out and everybody finds out that Obama was a big scam or that everybody becomes quickly disillusioned with the whole Obama thing, I mean, don't you think now with all these younger people motivated that we could be closer to some sort of revolution?
Yeah, and that's why they got the army ready and the brigades deployed and the microwave guns. But that's all meant to fail as well. They want total breakdown. They want depression, Kevin. So, plus the media will puff Obama up for a few years and then destroy him and then give you somebody else. See, they're experts at that. They build him up, they knock him down, they go, oh, there's a new savior. But the public is figuring out that scam by and large, so I don't know.
But, I mean, how far do you think this thing's going to go? I mean, do you picture it like gas stations closed, grocery stores closed, gangs of people running through the street looking for food?
It could very easily get to that point. I hope not. You know, I hope for the best, prepare for the worst, Kevin.
Yeah.
I just know this. We need to arrest everybody that smokes marijuana immediately.
That's for sure.
That'll keep us safe. Not the 2,000 deaths on the Texas-Mexico border just this year, the rocket attacks, the murders, cops being killed everywhere. That's not a problem, Kevin. Of course, all caused by the drug war. Even Mexico's saying decriminalize now because they are now admitting that's what's destroyed their country.
Yeah, didn't the drug czars agree to some change in the Mexican drug laws?
Yeah, because the whole society's falling apart. I mean, look, the British used drug prohibition in China to bring it down because they could ship the opium in and then buy off the cops and locals. Again, folks, all these drugs would be dirt cheap and be looked down on societally. But you make it illegal and all the bling, then everybody wants to do it. I mean, they know what they're doing, folks. When they lost alcohol prohibition, they then criminalized drugs.
Maybe our society's got to just crumble a little bit for everybody to readjust or something. I don't know. You know, as far as the drug war ending, because it has to. I don't know.
They're never going to stop. There's roid heads who like SWAT teaming and like killing people and like stealing drugs, and they're not going to stop. They are the drug dealers. They know they're shipping it. Most of them are on the take. I mean, I our government is a rancid, maggot-covered pile of dead meat.
So what do you think we should do to take the country back?
We should just point out that it's a pack of criminals running things and delegitimize it so they have no clout, so it just grinds to a halt. I mean, the best thing we can hope for is just a collapse. Instead, they want to have a controlled collapse to give them total power. So we need to have a system where that doesn't happen, Kevin. I'm going to have you back up next week briefly, Kevin, with the guest, because the guest you wanted to set up, Ethan Nadelman, probably got his time zone scrambled, so he never called in.
He didn't call in?
No, he didn't call in, or we would have had him on, Kevin.
I thought he was getting ready to come up.
We would just leave him on hold, Kevin. That's what we've done. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Hey, Kevin. Is he still there?
Yeah.
Hey, anyways, he never called in. Did he, Harmon?
No, he never called in.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Well, let me, if he didn't call in, then let me just go back to this Prop 5 thing one more time and just do a little
plug. All right, but just do it briefly. I got a couple sponsors I got to plug.
Okay, just, what, like 5 minutes or something?
Yeah, yeah, let's get into, what's up, Trey?
I'm going to get going, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you Sunday. I've got a
camera. All right, I'll see you, Keebler.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying bye to you. I was saying bye to Trey. Everyone is known as Keebler. What's up in there, Bob? I'll keep going. We're on air right now, right? I don't know what's so pleasing out there to everybody.
Oh, we're on the air right now?
Yes, we're on the air right now.
Oh, God, I keep forgetting.
We just skipped the breaks. We're on the only internet, but, you know, it's
all right.
Aggregate hundreds of thousands that'll watch it or listen. Oh, God. You know, I'm kind of too relaxed today, Kevin.
Yeah, it's a weird day. Well, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Did you do anything?
Happy Samhain? Happy Samhain? No, we're going to shutter our windows and lock the door as the little goblins bang on it, scratching their nails in the dark night, begging for goodies.
Do you have lots of kids in your neighborhood?
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We end up giving them candy, but we don't really celebrate it.
Yeah.
We have to give the little ghouls their booty, or what's the proper, their tribute. Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. How does the rest of it go, Kevin?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still knocked out from hanging out with Willie 5 days later.
Were we on the tour bus?
All over his house. Everywhere. I'm just joking. I'm joking the listeners out there. I have been more relaxed this week, though.
When are you going to come out to California?
You know, everybody asked me to come out there, Kev, and I need to come out there and see, before he moves, he's going to Europe, Tommy Pallotta. I need to see Sheen, need to see you, need to see a whole bunch of folks out there.
What's Tommy Pallotta doing?
I might be working with Ventura on a TV show, but we'll see what happens with that, so I'll be out there quite a bit if that happens.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. What about Pallotta?
Yeah, what's he doing?
I don't know. I've been playing phone tag. He's called me a few times. I've called him a few times. He's moving out of the country a few times to do some thing in Europe or something. Oh, my God. This has been a nice, relaxed hour. People want a sedated hour. I'm just talking about marijuana. It gives me a placebo effect.
Ready to go take a nap. Well, you just sounded so, angry when I was listening to you all day. I thought maybe I had to come and just chill you out a little bit. Just breathe a little bit of that California stuff.
You did that, weed head. I'm just joking. Okay, here we go. Imagine all the problems we have in our society. And there, got the police out, tracking on the tail, looking for Mary Jane. Looking for that marijuana. Catch the weed head rider. Hey, I'll be back live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., and I'm going to shift entirely into election coverage. The abbreviated Sunday transmission and Monday and Tuesday. Had pretty good first 3 hours. I was pretty hardcore and intense. Kevin said he was listening. Sounded pretty angry. It's pretty good radio, and I've been kind of relaxed in this hour. You know, talking about Mary Jane. But I don't have time to get to any more of your calls. I apologize. We'll have open phones again Sunday and Monday. And rebroadcast is about to begin at InfoWars.com. I hope you will. Just keep fighting. I know we get really negative, and sometimes I even kind of get gloom and doom on air. Because it's like so over the top how dirty and corrupt this government is. I mean, it's disgusting. And all the delusional fake do-gooders that back it up and everything they do. And they really trashed out a good country. And I've just had enough of it. This financial looting thing's really got me. I hope folks will go to InfoWars.com and get American Drug War, the film by Kevin Booth. 2-hour film, 3 hours of extras, really about two or three films in one. Endgame, Terror Storm, just all the great films we carry and have made at InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Kevin, in the last few minutes, tell me about the proposition out in California so the criminal goons that run the government can't grab the people in the nonviolent marijuana heads and put them in the slave systems.
Okay, well, it's known as NORA, the Nonviolent Offender Rehabilitation Act. It's Proposition 5 will cut state costs, and it's this being backed by a lot of good people, and it's being fought against by some really bad people.
By the parasites.
Yeah, the people who are profiting from running the prison.
The parasites, the pot-bellied demon creatures.
Absolutely, and really, they are going to lose a lot of money if they can't keep all these nonviolent drug offenders behind bars for years and years and years, because that's how they make their profit.
Well, now they're shifting into the fake environmental stuff. You'll get prison time for a little battery falling out of your car in the backyard.
Absolutely. So, you know,
God help us.
If you don't live in California, but you know someone who does, make sure that tell them to vote yes on Proposition 5, because I'll tell you, if you just watch mainstream TV as I do, it's kind of getting its butt kicked, in my opinion.
These this will allow heroin dealers to rape your children.
No, it is, really. And it has that that Feinstein woman on here who's actually, you know, she's actually on the right side of several issues, so it's a very, very sneaky.
Demonstein?
Huh?
Senator Demonstein?
Yeah.
Oh, she's saving us, Kevin?
Yeah.
No, obviously she's not. She's for the slave grid. She knows where the cash is.
And hey, do you want meth dealers, like, playing with your children? So
that's another thing. The government made all the stuff that got the base ingredients of meth illegal, so the scum that makes it has to then find all these other sub-ingredients. So then it's full of all these toxins and poisons.
It just gets worse and worse. It's just what happens. It's what happened with ecstasy. When ecstasy first came out, it was like this pure, clean, legal thing. People used it for psychotherapy. Yes, it could be abused, but just so can anything else can be
abused. But then they made it illegal, so they started labeling rat poison as ecstasy.
Right, so now you buy ecstasy, and you can get this stuff that'll cause you to, like literally have a stroke and shut your brain off, you know, because you get
that hit. Look, Midas had the golden touch. Everything the government touches turns into horse poo. They have the horse poo touch, Kevin. All right, AmericanDrugWar.com. He is Kevin Booth. And, Kevin, I'm going to get you up next week.
Thanks, Walt. Maybe I'm glad I came on here. Maybe chilled you out a little bit.
No, you did not chill me out. I'm just tired, Kevin.
No.
Never! Retransmission starts now. Infowars.com. Let me say bye to you behind the scenes here at PrisonPlanet.tv, Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
We should have told the pit bull story. I'm getting sick.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
Was that
a day unlike any other in the long course of American history? A terrorist act of war against this country.
Hey, John, what kind of audio did you just send me? It just got like 800 times louder.
Middle East, we have to.
Good God!
No, I didn't believe that.
Did you hear that?
9/11.
Yeah,
something.
All right, let me say bye to Kevin real quick. Good God! That'll make for good TV. Ah! They're attacking. That'll be interesting. Man, they had two different feeds connected. What happened? Just lost half my hearing. Kevin, I got to have you on just to badmouth pit bulls. Did we lose Kevin then? Oh, he's over here.
He's there.
Hey. Hello.
Yeah, Kevin. I've got to have you on just to badmouth pit bulls.
Yeah, no. Are we still on the internet right now?
Yeah, we're on the internet, but I got to go for the next show to start.
No, I'll do a whole pit bull thing, because my new thing, you know, I used to think it's not the animal, it's the person, but it is the, it's not the animal's fault, but it is the animal.
Look, here's an example. Everywhere I go is scum trying to menace me with their dog, and it doesn't scare me, I want to physically attack them, and their dog. And then the rest of the time, these people always get a dog, it always attacks their niece, or attacks the dog, or kills the neighbor's cat, or kills their own dog, and then they make excuses for it. And the fact is that it is genetics, not all of them, but it's like Russian roulette. And I'm just getting tired of these people with their dogs attacking all of us and then making excuses about it.
Well, here in California, what you have is that people have a pit bull that attacked or killed something or somebody, and instead of putting it to sleep, they don't have the heart, so they take it to one of these rehabilitation shelters, and then some unlikely dumbass comes, and he adopts it, and then takes it to an off-leash park where it comes and practically kills
him. You know, I actually found Rutiger down by Access TV, and then I took him in, and then Hank had him and then kept him and then gave him to you. Beautiful white dog, real sweet. And I've known that dog for, what, 10, 11 years?
Yeah.
And then that damn pit bull almost killed it. And pit bull owners will smile. You know, after, oh, he didn't mean it. Oh, they only do it sometimes.
Really,
and it's like, oh, here's a gun. Shoot you in the face five times. You know, it's like, oh, it's real funny.
I can't believe you ever. Now, this guy said, I've got paperwork that proves he's not violent.
Well, we'll badmouth pit bulls and get everybody mad at us next week. I'll see you, Kevin.
All right. Goodbye.
Vaya con Dios. All right. That's it, John. Good job today. I'll see you next Monday. And for everybody else, I'll see you Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., ladies and gentlemen, right here on the one, the only, GCN Radio Network.